All right. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm here today. I'm joined by Paul Knight, as I have been a lot usually. Paul, how you doing today, buddy?
Can't see you. Yeah, I didn't. Oh, he's here. No, put it back.
What? You can't see what?
I couldn't see you for a minute then.
Oh. No, it takes, after I come off the screen grab, for some reason, it takes a minute to show my beautiful mug again on the camera. Right. Millions and millions of fans out there.
Tell you what, you're looking rather regal tonight.
I got 800 fans. That's about it. So I'm wearing a hat tonight because my hair's a friggin' mess. That's about it. I need to get that real bad.
Look at mine. I haven't got any.
Paul, you did your hair real nice today. It looks nice and uniform. Yeah. Friggin' chrome dome over there.
All right.
No, all right. So today I had a lot of stuff I wanted to talk about. A little different this show because, you know, I like to do different shows on different things. And the last show or two was very heavy Mandela effect. Like I said, I wanted to do that top 10 Proofs Are Not on a Globe show soon. But this one, I kind of had some things I've come across in the last week or so, plus things I've been looking at, you know, for several years, as you guys know. And I wanted to talk about all the types of different stuff that goes on in the sky. And I know you have a lot of opinions on this, Paul. We've done shows about the firmament, about how day and night works. We've done shows about Polaris, the sun, the moon. I want to talk about all that stuff, plus other things going on in the sky that aren't necessarily NASA, flat earth related. There's some Mandela related stuff. Or maybe not, like I know people say it is, but the frozen plains, I don't know where exactly you would put what category that would fall into. We've shown that before. I've seen some other crazy stuff with the planes this week that I want to address and bring up. We've also given our views many times on chemtrails, what we think the real agendas of chemtrails are. And my opinion has evolved as, you know, I had one opinion of how it was, and I still do, of it's to lay a projective surface in the sky and to mask things in the sky. Paul, we've talked about this many times, right?
Definitely.
And then more recently, getting into collective consciousness and whatnot, I've come with the theory that maybe they're spraying to impede our collective consciousness. And now I have another twist on that whole story, and it doesn't change any of that. It's just another layer to the chemtrail deception. It's totally not what people think. Yeah, it's really, and it is, I'm not saying it's good. It's definitely not a good thing that they're doing, but it's definitely not the cookie cutter chemtrail argument, the Alex Jones, you know, they're trying to poison us all. That doesn't make any sense. If they're going to poison us all, they're going to poison themselves, right?
Definitely.
If they're doing it through,
you got to think about it. Now, I was going to say, are they mad? But yeah, they are. But you've got to think about it from a rational point of view. They would only do that type of poisonous stuff if they had an antidote or they were able to go to somewhere else, you know, get out of it. So that's why we're always thinking about it's there to hide something or to stop something getting through. And that's what I've said many times. It's just, they're trying to stop the sun's rays getting through. Because I've said it many a time, we need it to hit the pineal gland. That's why when it's a nice warm day, you generally feel better, happier, because it has a positive effect on you. And if they're stopping all this, do you know what I mean? It gets everyone agitated and, you know, easily influenced.
Well, they're trying to throw us off. It's sort of like how we brought up one of the last shows. We didn't get too deep into it. I wanted to get a little more deep into it, but my research on it actually is lacking. I was kind of hoping somebody else would elaborate on it. But you know how they have the conspiracy to take the music off the 432 hertz or whatever. And that kind of just throws us off. You know what I mean? There's a lot more of a scientific way to explain it, I'm sure, but you understand what I'm saying. And by doing that in our atmosphere, that would throw us off from all connecting with each other, you know? Interfering with the frequencies that we connect with, whatever that may be, you know?
Well, the Earth's got a frequency itself. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And generally, that frequency will be connecting to us. You think about it, we're all how is that pronounced? Symbiotic relationship. We're all feeding off each other in a circle, especially that's just a circle of life, as everyone knows. It's just one giant circle. Do you know what I mean? So everything is shared and they're just messing with it. That's why you can tell most of the things Earth's getting like worse and all this, and you get all these floodings. I mean, that's not helped, because what they're doing, they're just taking all the sand for the silica. Do you know what I mean? So that's why you're getting more floods. But what I'm saying is, in general, they're just messing with everything, trying to get you off that balance, you know, the harmonies all together. So like we've said, once you start seeing the truths, it's easily passed on to people. You know what I mean? You've only got to pass it on to one person, and then as you know, that snowballs. And that's what they don't want. They don't want you getting on with people, everyone getting on, because then they have no power. They can't rule by fear.
Well, that's their biggest fear, and it's that's why all these topics, I say, not the only reason, there's many reasons, but that's why all these topics are so tied together, like, the, you know, the Mandela effect, the flat earth, even other topics like waking up to the idea of vaccines being bad, and all these things are all part of the Great Awakening, and that's the biggest thing that they fear. It's not necessarily this one topic or this one. Sure, some are way bigger than others, I'm not denying that, and they open all kinds of doors. But what they're ultimately afraid of is people realizing that we are capable of more than we have been led to believe, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And the idea of us realizing that there is a collective consciousness that we can create together. It's very interesting. Like, I don't know if you've seen it yet. I know I recommended it to you, but the movie that came out, it's a remake of an old movie that's based off a book, of course. It's called Fahrenheit 451. Did you get to see that yet?
I've not seen it yet, but I know what you mean about. I've heard you talk about it.
It's very interesting, because never mind just the whole plot of the movie of them burning books and not letting people upload stuff online, and they only allow like 3 books that they approve of, and they basically go around burn books and rewrite history. But it also gets into collective consciousness, because the goal of the movie is these people, you know, they have to hide out and with their books, because books aren't allowed, and they have like a library in this one house, and they're all there. And somebody comes in and they're like, you have read all these books. And the woman's like, no, but he read this one. And she names books. This one read this one. This one read this one. And collectively, we all share it, and we all share that knowledge now. And then they try and pass it off into like it sounds crazy, but they try and pass off the collective consciousness somehow into a bird and fly it out of the country and get away from all this and help people, you know, be free. It's very, you know, it's kind of like you watch a movie like The Matrix. It's not a documentary, but after you start to see things, it's like, wow, a lot of those things in there are like right on with what I'm researching. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Finding it, like, once you start seeing all this truth and all the lies, basically any film you've ever watched is like a new film, because you go back into it and watch these films and you're spotting things that you just basically didn't see. You know what I mean? It's so crazy.
Yeah, this is a really good one. I'm going to tell everybody again in the chat, watch Fahrenheit 451. I guess there's an older version, you know, a couple decades ago, but watch the new one. It came out in the last year or two. Really good. Really, really good movie, something I can relate to. Now, there's other stuff I'm going to get into too as well. We're going to get into some stuff that, in my opinion, and as you can tell by the title of the show, if anybody that saw it, I think Blue Beam is fully operational right now. And I've talked about this, you know, I pose the question, and, you know, I have a little meme out there with the moon, you know, hey, what if Blue Beam, you know, it's been staring at you in your face the whole life or whatever. And, but on another level, I'm not talking about, and we are going to talk about the moon, our views on the stars. Is it sound resonance? Is it projections? Is it, you know, floating something up there? Whatever we want to talk about. But, it seems like they're using Blue Beam to put other stuff in the sky too. Now, we did touch on it before. Remember with the SpaceX launch? And I said, that looks like some Project Blue Beam type of testing. Because obviously we knew the SpaceX launch wasn't going to space, you know? And I could probably bring up that GIF real quick. I want to show that. Let me just go in my GIFs real quick. And Paul, you want to talk about the pattern that it made and what you said it looked like? Well, I grabbed the GIF real quick for the SpaceX launch.
Oh, you're talking about the one it was that bright in the sky. It just looked like light. It looked like a hologram type of thing.
Yeah, like, exactly. It looked like to me like there was a plane, maybe with some sort of rear projection technology.
Definitely.
Like, that's what I saw right away.
It seems like I have a reaction. It was like too bright, too TV looking. You know what I mean? It looked like CGI, basically.
Yeah, and I'm going to show it right now. I have the GIF just so people know what we're talking about. And I'm not going to spend long on this because I'm just going to, you know, go off from here. But this is what we're talking about right here. So you guys remember this. This SpaceX launch supposedly going to space. Now, anybody listening to my show by now, I would hope, knows that NASA's fake, SpaceX is fake, and this isn't going to space. I mean, you don't have to be a regular viewer of the show to know that this thing right here isn't going up to outer space. Right?
I mean, if you look at that, that looks like vapor and water. And if you know, they do use water and vapor to use as a holographic background.
Yeah, it does look like vapor and water, but also mixed in with light. It's lit up. Because you wouldn't just see that at night like that. Yeah. And then back here, it really made, I wish this video was a little longer, and there are longer videos. It really looks like some sort of something projected there. And I'm going to get back to that because I want to get on some more things projected in the sky in a little bit. Hold on. Let me shut my screen share off. Just get a million fucking things here. All right, and then, now I wanted to also on this show, we're going to talk about flight routes on the flat Earth, right? So as we all know, the flight routes are totally out of whack with what they should be as far as, like, if you're, you know, you're traveling in the southern hemisphere and on the globe, it doesn't go, you know, a straight line. It goes way up into what would be the northern hemisphere, way back down, right?
Definitely.
And the reason this easily gets exposed is things like emergency landings and stuff. We know this, like the flight from the Philippines to California, and it makes instead of stopping in like Hawaii, it makes an emergency landing up in Alaska. But, you know, on the real layout of the land, or the closest to we believe it to be, you know, I'm not saying the map is completely correct, you know, but I'm just saying on the actual layout of the land, it's a straight line. But this is the reason why they have to hide all the flights in the southern hemisphere. On the GPS, you know, when people will see that they're not flying over where it says they're supposed to be and whatnot. And have you heard that they were going to start equipping some of the planes that actually take these routes closer to Antarctica and closer to the North Pole, even though they don't fly right over it? Have you heard how they're going to start making the planes windowless? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I've certainly not yet.
Have you seen what the virtual windows look like? I have some videos I want to show you. Have you seen it?
I think I've seen it, yeah. They're just projecting on the glass, aren't they? Or outside's like...
Yeah, and now how easy would it be to trick people and say, okay, we're going to put cameras, right? So when you're at the runway, you're right, ready to take off, they show you the real images and stuff, so it matches up with real time when you boarded the plane, you see your family walking away, waving at you from the terminal, yada, yada, yada. How easy is it to switch to a previously recorded flight, right, the footage, showing you the landscape that they want to show you going over, but you're really not going over that? Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Definitely, but if you think about it in another way as well, I mean, that's a good point, and it's entirely possible. But if you think about it now, you're going to Antarctica. How the hell are you going to know you've not been there before? Because it's just the same. There's no landmarks.
Yeah.
It's just ice, ice, ice. And you're not going to go, oh, I've seen that ice, you know, that little mountain there or that little peak there. You would not know. You could be the same location every time you went up and crossed over. You would not know because it's all similar. You need landmarks, you know, to base it off. So that's that as well. They could just fly over the same spot constantly without anyone raising an eyebrow.
Mm-hmm. Can you see my screen?
I can, yet.
Yeah. All right, guys, look how real this looks, okay? And tell me how this – tell me this wouldn't fool
– There's only me on it. I mean,
this is a demonstration of it. Now, these windows are all video screens. They're not real windows. They look like windows. It's like you're seeing the outside of the plane. And same over here. You're going to look like you're seeing out the front of the plane.
Are you playing a video? Because it's not come up.
Can you see it?
No, no video comes up yet. Not on mine. I'm not saying if anyone else has not come up, but it's just me.
All right, hang on. I'll share the full screen instead. I don't know why it's doing that when I share the application window. Hang on. Now you see my full screen, yeah, right?
I can see it.
Now this is fake, guys. This is not real. And I just want to show you all types of stuff that can be going on in the sky for deception today. And this is something really interesting because we've talked about these windowless planes, but I didn't know that they were really putting in virtual windows where they're going to actually display allegedly what's on the outside of the craft. But this would also help, Paul, where say they're taking flights where say they're at night in a time when they should see the alleged 24-hour Antarctic sun, for instance, from where they are, and they don't see it because it's, you know, it's not there. But then with these fake windows, they could display that for the people on the plane. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
There's all types of tricks. They could, all types of deceptions. They could show us things that, you know, we don't normally see, but now they're going to say, oh, you do see it. And they're not going to tell. Like, look how real that looks. If I didn't tell you right now that what we were watching, you would think, bro, Brian's showing some video of a plane for whatever reason, you know, whatever reason we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. But look at this. It's crazy stuff, man. Crazy, crazy stuff. Let me see. Let me stop my screen share. All right. My screen's back, right?
It's back on.
All right. Let me just bring the chat back up. Yeah, Joey. Joey's in the chat. I was going to have you. I tried messaging you a few hours ago. I don't know where you went. You thought it was next week. Where did I want to go from here? Okay, so some of the other stuff we always talk about, and we're going to come back to all these points and elaborate on all of them. I just want to give you guys an idea of the things we're going to talk about today. Some of the other stuff that we talk about, or I talked about a lot in the last several years, would be the solar simulator, obviously. We want to give our views today on what we think the – I don't want to speak for you, Paul. But I believe that there is a real sun as well as a solar simulator, but I'm not 1,000,000% sure of that. But what do you think?
It's like I'm ever evolving. You know what I mean? Because more you research, you keep changing. But this present time, I believe the sun is a sun crystal, as you know, and that's just what is used to project localized light down below. But also, I believe the solar simulators. For what reason? Obviously, none of us really know. I've theorized, like, could we be in an ice age type of thing and the sun's actually moved away? Various things like that. But the patterns are there. You can't lie with facts. You found the patterns. You see the sun looking like a sun simulator. There's no way around it. Do you know what I mean? There's a sun simulator up there. How many there is? None of us know. What's the purpose? Well, do you know what I mean? We've seen it. To basically mess with your mind and different things. It could be anything, but the facts are there. You can't deny it, can you?
No, you can't. And I'm going to play some footage. You see my screen, right?
I can, yeah. You got your computer with pictures on.
Yep, that's actually a YouTube video. Check this out. This is Jeff P's channel. Just listen and watch.
Another YouTube channel. This guy zoomed in on his thing. Watch this.
This is it in action. You can see the centerpiece spinning.
He's going to zoom in on it. This is from the Zion Warrior YouTube channel. Again, I'll leave a link in the description. Watch how he zooms in on this thing. Yeah. Look at the light sparkle off that thing. And now I believe what I caught was a light that shines and sparkles off the thing. You just have that light.
Look at the hexagonal shape.
It looks like two of them.
Defined hexagonal.
That's amazing.
We're going to see it reflect off water soon, too, so you can prove it's not a camera aberration.
And some of you will say that's a camera aberration in the sky, but yet we keep seeing this on the water, too. And for those of you who ask, why do we have the lens system? I've covered this before, but I'll do it again.
You've seen this with flat Earth experiments. I think Rob Skiba and Jaronism both did a test like this, and I was like, this is exactly what I'm like, yeah, this is exactly what I'm talking about with the solar simulator. With the lenses on the solar simulator, especially with like the big one in the middle, you take away the focal point of somebody's vision, and you can mask where the source light is. So if the source light is coming from the real sun into the back of the simulator, or if it's coming from Polaris, or if it's coming from wherever you want to speculate it's coming from, it can hide that. Now watch this.
We'll pull away the focal point of light from your eyes so you don't see it. There's a lens. You don't see it. There's no trickery here. You just put a lens in front of it, and you can't see it. Ta-da. It disappeared. So what we get to see are out-of-focus planets, which chemtrails can take cover the rest.
Now, this guy, he does believe in He is a guy that believes in planets and stuff like that. So, you know, when not everybody's on board with all the same stuff, but especially when you're like us and you're going to look into all different topics, it's very rare you're going to find somebody that's, you know, this across the board. You got to take each topic that they're experts in and take it for what it's worth. Now, watch this. I want to play this one more, and then we're going to talk a little bit. Later on, I'm going to show you some of the physical makeup of this thing that some of these people worldwide have actually caught on tape. Now, watch this. As you see the black dot in the center here, you're going to see it come up over the horizon, and then the black dot and the whole sun is going to reflect off the water. It's clearly not a camera effect.
This video, for those who want to think that that is something that's on the lens, when clearly we could see it reflected in the water, rotating. So there you have it, folks. Let's look at that one more time. Let's see if there's anything I didn't cover here. What is the advantage of a Fresnel lens? Well, Fresnel.
And then he gets into the type of lenses he believes it is. And I'm not sure, you know, I have to look, I have to research that more to say I'm going to agree with, you know, the type of lenses and this guy might actually know for a fact. But I've always thought it was some sort of lens to either localize and magnify a light in a certain area, which is a lot of what the patents say. That's the thing about the patents, Paul.
If you think about it, they've been saying it's a lens since Egyptian times and beyond the sun. It's really similar as same as sun crystal. Like I said, they said it was a lens as well. So do you know what I mean? It's not just the first time people have been talking about the sun as being a lens or a crystal. I mentioned Pythagoras said it was a crystal. Egyptians thought it was lenses and different things. They used them also. But also what I've not looked totally into at the minute, and I did pass you the link, because after it just snowballs and you go researching different things. They're now experimenting with nanocrystals to produce light. Do you know what I mean? So they're only small, but they're lighter and more efficient than having big, you know, within for the old sun simulator, the old big massive bulbs type of thing. And this would be on a grander scale, lighter also. But what you get with crystals and different things like that, you get dead pixels, just like a TV, LCD crystal. And with a black dot, that could just be dead pixels. You can't hide it. You can't get away from it. You know what I mean?
I mean, it does kind of look like that. If you think about it, that's what it looks like.
And, you know? You also know, as soon as you hear and see anything on your research, or they're thinking about this and they're going to start experimenting it in this year, and they've done it, and they're like 10, 20 years before anyone really sees it. You know what I mean? That's how they do it. They just plant ideas.
Absolutely. And like you say about the sun being a focusing crystal, and like you said, we even flip-flop here and there on it. Is there a real sun and a simulator? Is it just simulators, right? So let's just say we're back on the other part now. Let's just say it's just simulators, right? And you think the sun is a focusing crystal, and I think it's lenses. I mean, that are focusing the light. It's very similar.
Yeah, they're both doing the same job.
I just think it's made up of many lenses, not one big focusing crystal. I don't know if that's how you, if I should, how that's how I should interpret what you mean by focusing crystal. But you mean one crystalline structure.
Yeah. But this is, it's just the same. I mean, if you think about it, this is how I don't say, or I say it's a focused crystal and that's it. I'm standing firm. It's not. What I will do is I will look at it from your point of view and say, well, if it is a focusing crystal and it's been there for millennia, why are they needing to put sun simulators? Well, you would only do if we was in some sort of ice age. The sun could go away for a period. It has to naturally cool down, or there's various reasons. Now, if it was in an ice age and you didn't want it in an ice age, you wanted to keep the temperature as near as you could, you would have these like heating, you know, it's that sort of thing. I mean, that's just an idea. If, you know, it's a work around your idea of saying why we need, you know what I mean?
Now, before I throw the video of that, you can actually see the breakdown of this thing a little bit. Like, you're going to see the physical makeup of where it looks like the light's coming out of this thing. Very vague, but you're going to see it.
Before you do it, I just remembered. Do you remember when I did stuff about the giant trees and all that? And when I mentioned that, the moissanite and the production form of moissanite is sick, the silicon, you know, in carbide. And I basically showed you that, and you showed me the patterns that NASA are using that ingredient to make the sun simulators. Remember that a few weeks ago? So they're using that ingredient, and silicon carbide is basically brighter than a diamond. It reflects more.
And the lenses that they think they're also using some sort of silicone nanotubes in the construction of this. Wow, from some of the people I've been listening to, if you want to call it the solar simulator community, if there's such a thing.
There's that video I've showed you, it was only 2 minutes long. It's on my website, and it just showed you how bright and how luminous moissanite can go. Well, that is the main ingredient. You know, they're making a lab, the silicon carbide, because there's not enough of this crystal. So it just shows you, if it's that bright and it can do what it can with light, that's the best ingredient you can use to make these nano crystals or whatever for the sun simulator. And you can't lie, because you've got all the patterns and all the ingredients and everything. What's to make it?
Yeah, well, that's the thing is it's not. That's the point I was trying to make earlier, and I started talking about something else. It's not like there's one. You know, people are gonna say, "Oh, they just put this out there for disinfo, make you look stupid," like they say about everything. But it's not like there's this one patent that says, "Oh, look, this is a solar simulator. There's a fake sun. Oh, that's it. Our research is done." No, Bausch & Lomb, Boeing, NASA, all the company, those are the three major companies involved in producing this thing, especially Boeing. All the components and stuff that they made for it, there's patents for it. It's not like this one patent. There's tons of them. And then there's literally diagrams and schematics of how the thing's built. And I've read some of the paragraphs on the air before. I'll try and bring it up when we take a break, because I didn't bring up my links for the solar simulator. I didn't know I was going to go this deep into it. But there's descriptions, almost like an operations manual of how it's going to be used to artificially illuminate a large population upon the Earth's surface and all this crap, dude. It's like, it's pretty right in your face, you know?
You saw that news, haven't you, that I saw this week that, when is it now? Japan are going to have a fake moon by 2022
China.
Yeah.
Don't mix my people up with the Chinese, okay?
Oh, no, someone said that on your meme, didn't they? I saw it on the video.
Not Japanese, not Chinese. Get it right. We're not all the same, okay? No, so they do say that. They do say that. And it's funny because I've been trying to tell people I don't think the moon is solid and it's a projection or a hologram for years, and people laugh at me. But, you know, then they see a story like that, and they jump all over it and share it, and it's like, whoa, what? Why'd you shit all over me for it? You know what I mean? So I want to show the solar simulator breakdown of it real quick. Now, check this out, guys. This is crazy footage right here. All right? Watch this. So this isn't just the thing spinning, and this isn't just the hexagonal shape of it. Watch this. This is crazy. Right here.
And discharging. One is causing the other to discharge quicker and quicker, giving off more spectrum of light and heat that can no longer, that these lens arrays can diffuse and hide.
Watch over
the planets.
Here. You're going to see like a grid
to hide
within that purple that we always see.
Let's look
from
at this one more time.
Like a mesh. You're
gonna and
see like
I'll
a
leave
mesh.
Links for all this in the description box. We can
look
see. But I believe the very material of this breakdown.
That's either a mesh or a pixel issue. What is that? That look at this. Paul, look at that. What do you say about that? People say that there's nothing to look at here and this is the natural sun. Are you fucking kidding me? Like seriously, like how can you ignore this? Look at this.
And
you actually
what
see
that
the
would
physical
look like.
Makeup
look at
of this
the
thing.
Color that's coming off this thing. I bet this thing is some beautiful rainbow colors coming off. The same thing that's going to give us those crazy lenticular clouds. Yeah, just some made up name, man. They just make this stuff up.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well, it's like the thing. Remember the article in one of the newspapers that a German town got lit up at night by the fake sun? And people say, no, it doesn't exist. Well, no, there's an article telling you that they've put one up in the sky to light a German town.
Yeah, and there's also the one, I think it was in Siberia several months ago, where the sun went out for like three hours or something. And there's been footage of it flickering. I also want to talk about the moon, too. Now, the moon, you know, I've given my opinion many times that I don't think the moon is solid. I think it's a projection or a hologram of some sort. And as much as that makes people mad, it's like, okay, well, that's what I observe. That's the characteristics of it I see, like seeing through it in the daytime, just like you would a projection. You need it to be nighttime to see it crystal clear. I've seen with my own eyes the thing glitching out, like the edges of it not being round and coming in like it was flickering almost. I've seen it in my own eyes. I've seen it in other people's videos. We've seen the Luna Wave videos, which looks like a resolution issue with the moon.
Yep.
The moon also, as we know, it emits cold light. Now, getting to the cold light thing, the cold light aspect of it, obviously that proves that the moon can, yes, and what Joey said, Joey's in there under the name Aaron, the moon is transparent, proved by the fact that we can see stars behind it. Yeah, it's transparent. You can see through it. It's not solid. Now, if somebody wants to argue with me, that's fine. We can debate it. We both have our views. You think it's solid. I think it's not. But you can definitely not prove that it's solid any more than I can prove that it's not. And what our observations tell us is it's not. So you need to respect my opinion on that, and you need to look into it. But what about this idea? So you know how the moon gives off cold light, right?
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, I'll explain real quick. So let's say you're in the sun. Okay, so we're told that the moon reflects the sun's light, okay? And if you've been around a while here, you probably already know that it doesn't. But here's another proof of it that it doesn't. It has the opposite properties of the sunlight. The sunlight is warm. If you're in the sunlight and it's 90 degrees, right? You go in the shade, it's, say, 75 degrees, whatever. Pick a number. So it's 75 in the shade, you cool off. So if the light's reflecting off the moon and coming back down, and you're in the moonlight, and I know it's colder because it's night, right? But let's say it's 50 degrees and you're in the full moon, right? Now let's say you get out of that full moonlight that's supposed to be reflecting from the sun, and you go in the shade of the moonlight at night, your temperature's actually going to go up. So now that we know this, and we've known this for probably 4 years or so, or however long you've been looking into the flat earth stuff, Paul, what do you think about the idea that the frost that we have in the morning is caused by the moon? I've seen some experiments, very basic experiments and observations recently in the last few days that make me kind of believe that that probably is true.
That's a good question.
The sun kind of has like a dry heat. The sun has like a dry heat, and the moon has like this cold moisture that comes over overnight, and it kind of keeps the balance. What do you think about that?
It's all possibilities, because if you think about it, in essence, the air we breathe is a liquid.
Yeah.
So you're talking at a molecular level.
It's like a purifier. They're like big purifiers, like a humidifier and a purifier in the sky.
So you're going to have the moisture constantly in the air. So if it is cooler, you will get ice. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? In a sense. I mean, you know, I'll talk about what I think the sun, the moon is in a minute, but on your question is, yeah, it's all possible that the moon does create, you know, I'm talking like from your point of view, I'll tell you what I think in a minute, that it could cause the frosting, because obviously it's a lowering temperature. We're in a liquid. If the temperature's lower and then you get a slight breeze or what do you call it, wind chill factor, you got all the ingredients to create moisture, icicles in the morning.
Yes.
Because if you think about it, for instance, you live in a street, one side of the street gets the morning sun, the opposite side of the street doesn't, and you get the ice on the cars, but the other street doesn't. It's just basically showing you right there that a lowering temperature without the sun and ice, and that can be created.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm thinking. And I've seen experiments like, for instance, so you go out in the morning, right, and there's so many things that shouldn't work, if you know, according to the globe and all this. So you go out in the morning, you see the moon, you know, in the daytime, right? And it's not full and all that. We know all that. So you go out. I'm watching these people do some observations. So you go out and there's frost on the cars. We live in New England now. We come out in the morning and there's frost on everything because it's getting cold, you know? so there's frost on the cars and whatnot. But there's so this one guy goes out and shows a car that's frosted, and the car right behind it that's in the shade from the moon isn't frosted. It isn't frosted. Now, what's making that? What's the variable here? What's making the temperature difference or whatever, environmental difference from one car to the other car 6 feet behind it? Well, the only difference I see is it's under a tree and it's shaded from the moonlight. Just saying.
I did just quickly check that on my phone because I've got so much going on in my head, but people don't are not aware that I'll read it out because it'll just take me all day to remember. Like, water is unique because it's the only natural substance that can exist in all three states of matter. So there's a magic point when water is ice, it's hard, it's liquid, it's a gas. So do you know what I mean? We live in a magical place, if you think about it, where substances can be all three states at once. And what makes them go into these states? Do you know what I mean? It's just like a magic trick, basically, isn't it? Where water can be an ice cube, it can be a gas and a liquid.
You know what the problem is, Paul? You know why that's so hard to wrap your head around? Because the fucking basic foundation of everything we learned about reality, the earth, geology, everything is wrong. It's so hard to reason with these things because they go against everything we've been indoctrinated to. And even though, you know, I consider myself not too indoctrinated anymore, it still comes up. It comes up for you, it comes up for me because you see these things, oh, that can't happen. But you're basing it off rules and laws of nature that aren't really the rules and laws of nature. They're just what we're told they are. Does that make sense?
Definitely. I mean, like, now I'll tell you what I think the boon is. And mine's even way out there than yours. But like I said, in my theory of, you know, the firmament, which we'll touch later, the moon is a crystal too. Now, this has gone back to ancient times where, if you believe the myth of Atlantis, they had a huge crystal moon, which was the forerunner to create the energy. Now, this supposedly got damaged in a war, right? So this may lead to your thing is, why are they projecting a moon-like face on top of the moon? Is it because they don't want us to see a damaged moon and everyone freak out, knowing history is not what we're told? That's one possible reason. I mean,
another reason is what we've talked about before, and we've done a whole show on it. Not a whole show just on that topic, but it was in the title. And I don't think we have the exact same theory on Polaris, but I think, again, it's very similar. Polaris being the key, being maybe the true great light, maybe that's the source of all the energy. I think that Polaris, seeing that it's above the center of the Earth, above the North Pole, you know, above the magnetic center, it's got all sorts of proofs that, you know, that they don't want us to realize by looking at Polaris and it being the stationary star and this and that. What if the moon, the reason for the projected moon, is a distraction to keep you from staring at Polaris every night?
Mate, it's all possible. All possible. If you think about it, in my theory, it is an energy base and frequencies. Obviously, we'll have radiation too, giving off a radiation in frequencies and that. And if you think about energy, like EMF and stuff, that makes you feel uneasy. It can do a lot of things too. But my theory is that the moon gives off a frequency to promote your circadian rhythm to make you sleep. Hence why I've said to you before, sunset, sunrise, as you're setting, you're supposed to be going to sleep. And it's just basically a mechanism to start the procedure of going to sleep, which I know it sounds way out there, but it's as good as a tool to get the masses to sleep than anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound out there at all. And, you know, they have us working on that system with the, you know, you see the sun, you get up, you see the moon, you go to bed at midnight or whatever.
I mean, they
need that system to run their whole fake reality system based on money, banks, you know, all this crap. It all they need that day-night system.
Well, think about it like this. You know, I'm researching into the Sumerian civilization now, and I'm going deep into it. The ethos is the Anunnaki created us to be slaves, right? Now, if you think about this, you want your slaves getting up and going to sleep when you want them to. You want to control every aspect of their life. How would you do that? You would have the sun coming up. There's your alarm clock. go to work. The moon is coming up, moon, and oh, it's going down, the sun's going down, sunset, you go ready to sleep. Do you know what I mean? It's just, I'm not going to say it, like an ancient alarm clock. Up you get and up, down you go to sleep. It could be mechanical, it could be anything. What you should do in what we're doing is you never rule anything out until you can categorically prove otherwise. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Sorry, I was just typing to the chat real quick to Glow, the Bible lady. You might have heard of her.
Oh yeah, I heard she's rather naughty with the Bible verses.
Oh, all right. So I want to talk about airplanes. Now, airplanes, we could do a series of shows just on the crazy stuff going on with airplanes these days, couldn't we?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what you've showed me, you can. I mean, I'm not a great deal, unfortunately, but I've seen what you showed me. You can't. It messes with your head a little bit.
Yeah, so we got, as you guys know, we got the jet fuel hoax. Maybe you guys don't know, but, you know, that came about a lot several months ago. If you guys haven't looked into that, it's very interesting to look into. I'm not saying I'm 100% on it, but it certainly looks like that's what's going on. The use of compressed air in the jet engines. The idea that these jets are holding like 80,000 gallons of fuel in their wings is absolutely ridiculous. It's pretty much insulting. I'm not saying no fuel is used. I think they do use a little bit to heat up the compressed air and get the turbines going and whatnot. But I think it's pretty self-sufficient once it gets running. Paul, you want to comment on that before I move on to the next part?
Yeah, I've showed you that link, and I've not really gone into depth on it because, as you know, loads of stuff come up. But there is an effect with crystals. It's called piezoelectricity. And what happens is when you rub a crystal together, it creates electric. Now, I found, I don't know, was it a professor? Or it's an article online saying they are working on piezoelectricity crystals in airplane engines. You can't get any more in your face than that. And it was an old article as well. And obviously I've not had really time to go back into it, but it's just basically telling you electric plane engines using the force of crystals, piezoelectric. All you do is you only rub together and it creates the force. You would only need fuel for your initial thrust and to get, you know, get up, and then the piezoelectric will work through the plane, you know, the aeroplane, the planing technique where the air is coming in, turning the turbines, and that will create electricity.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yep. Then also with the jets, obviously we mentioned earlier, we have the flight routes. We have the jet, we got the Mandela effect jet engines. Why don't I bring that up real quick for the people that don't know what we're talking about there. Let me see. I should have it right here in my folder. There it is. And let me do a screen share. Now, check this out, guys. Now, I know a lot of you guys already know this, and we're not going to stick on the frozen plane, the Mandela effect engines too long, because we've already done this. But check this out, okay? The engines on the airliners now look like this. I know this takes a minute for my computer to boot up these pictures, so just excuse me. But they are not under the wings anymore. They're like suspended out in front. But the problem is, if you go back and you look for the last several decades or your whole life or whatever, and you look at commercial airliners, you're going to see the same thing. You're just seeing a black screen right now, right?
Yep.
All right, here it comes, I think. Wow, my computer is so slow. So slow. I apologize about that.
You should delete some of that porn, you know.
Stop sending it to me.
Well, I can't help it. You keep asking for it.
All right, now I know you're going to say this isn't a commercial airline, but I'm going to show you ones that this is what they look like now with the engines. Look how ridiculously of an engineering design that looks. Like, how is that even supported? What's it hanging on, like, by this? Like, seriously, dude? And then I'm going to show you how I remember it. Look at this. Do you guys remember commercial airliners looking like this? I remember the engines under the wings, man. And if you were going to design something, once again, the Mandela effect makes engineering stupid. It makes anything you say, you sound like a moron. The grammar is ridiculous. Like, who would design this like this? I wouldn't even feel safe on it. Look at this. look at this. This is how they look now. But it's not just now. This is how they have always been. Okay?
It's not aerodynamic sound, that.
Not, look how far ahead that is, dude.
If you think about it, you want the air has to go over the plane to create the lift, and then you want the turbines underneath, obviously, to give you your thrust, and it just doesn't make sense for that way that is built.
And this right here is a Mandela effect as well. This used to be called Alaskan Airlines. Now Alaskan Airlines has never existed, and it's Alaska Airlines with no N. It was always Alaskan Airlines, but go back and look. It's never been. Now I want to show you what I remember. Now, this is from a video game called Just Cause 2. Paul, I'm sure you know the game, right? It's a big PS game.
I've seen it. You've shown me this one.
Now, this is how I remember. This is a video game, guys, but you'll see it's a very detailed and very accurate-looking video game. And look how they design their planes. Why would they match exactly what I remember if they're wrong? And this is normal to you, isn't it? Isn't this what you remember, Paul? I mean, this isn't far out there for me to say, like, this is what it should look like. This is how I remember planes. This is how the people that spent, you know, these video games, this isn't like, you know, the 1980s. Like, these video games have huge budgets like movies do. Look at the graphics on here. It almost looks real. I mean, we know it's a game. We know, you know, yeah, it is Photoshop, but it has to be type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. But look at, this is what it looks like to me. This is my memory. This is what I remember. But the planes have never been like this now. What do people in the chat remember, Paul? Can you see the chat? I got the full screen share on. I can't see it. They remember this, right?
Yeah. Simone's saying it's under the wing, not in front.
This is what I remember. And, you know, this really was a big this was a big one for me. That was a big Mandela effect for me and for a lot of people. I mean, that really made the rounds about the community. And then after that, we got into something else with the planes. And I don't know what category you would put this in. People say it's a Mandela effect. I don't really see how that falls into that category. I think it's some sort of a technological thing, whether it's NASA, Project Blue Beam, whether it's, you know, whatever entity you think it is. I don't think it has to do with reality changing. And I'm talking about the frozen planes in the air. And I'm going to show these real quick. I know we've done it before. But because it's going to lead us into another thing to do with the planes that's new to me, that I've heard of before. I didn't really start digging into it until this week, but I want to address it. So let me do a screen share real quick. Check this out.
Here we got Salted Seed is agreeing with us about the engines, right? Harley Quinn under the wing.
You guys see my screen, Paul? YouTube?
Yeah, black screen.
All right, check this out, guys. Look at that. That's not a helicopter. That's a fucking airplane hovering in the sky. And I got more. And then it's going to get even crazier. People are going to hate me after.
What's that on the sky below it?
What's that?
So below, like, to the right below, it looks like a weird cloud.
Like it's flying a banner or something. I don't know. Oh, I don't know what that is. I had wondered that myself, too. Now check this out, people. And people say, oh, they're traveling in the car, so they can't really tell. Well, you just saw one where they were standing still as well. And there's plenty of that. Oh, what is that? Is that a slow, is that just a slow approach and we're just misinterpreting what we're seeing? Is that what they're going to say? Look at this. A plane, they couldn't even stay up there like that. And one more. Nope. This is what I wanted to show next. So I have heard the idea before of hologram planes. And I'm not talking about planes on 9/11 and the argument I've had with people, CGI versus hologram. I'm talking about hologram planes on a daily basis, hologram planes and chemtrails. Now, before we get into why they might want to do that and whatnot, I just wanted to show some footage real quick. And the second video I'm going to show matches my observations, Paul, and a story that I have told you. And you might not remember, and I know I've told Gloria as well. I've mentioned it a few weeks ago because I saw it outside and it didn't look right to me. But first I'm going to show this, right? Now what you're going to see here is you're going to see a plane. It certainly doesn't look real. It looks like some sort of projection or hologram to me. It looks fake. But yeah, I know you can't just say, oh, it looks fake, so it is fake. It's a propeller plane and the propellers aren't even spinning on it. Okay? I'm not even joking. Watch this. It's not a real plane in the sky.
Directly overhead?
In my opinion. Tell me what you think. Look at the propellers. Look at this. Come on, man. What is that?
Yeah, it doesn't look real. I mean, you can tell the propellers are moving fast, but they still do the shimmy, you know, the shine off the reflection.
Yes.
Like the famous car brand BMW, that's how that's changed, you know, their emblem. That is a propeller moving, and you don't see it moving. It doesn't look real.
Look at this.
I mean, just look at it. The wings look like too far back type of thing. It looks like, well, you know, when them fake balloons that they make, like as a drone type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's filled up with helium and it's just flying through the sky.
Yeah, and then I'm going to make this even crazier in a second when I show you what comes next. Oh, is this the one that just disappears? I think it is. Yeah, watch this. Now this, I know this could be a doctored video. That other one seems real. This seems like a real video to me, though. But I know you could make something disappear off the screen in a video. So they film this plane flying. After this one with the no propellers, this plane's flying, then it freezes, and then it just blinks out, vanishes. And this is why, look how much clearer it just got, and then it's going to just, boom, gone. Crazy, right?
Definitely.
Crazy. Crazy. I thought this was one of those stupid things that, you know, I don't need to look into. And then, watch this. This is what I've observed, okay? Now, I didn't, when I observed this, I didn't say, oh, I think that the theory that I have about it now. But I observed this, and I had mentioned to you, I don't know if you remember, I mentioned to Gloria, and I said, you know what's really weird is I saw some plane in the sky that was spraying chemtrails, but it was going straight up. Like it was going straight up and it went up so high, it looked like it was going up higher than the moon. Like it wasn't a normal ascent of a plane. Now watch this. This is exactly what I saw in my backyard. I didn't film this. This is somebody's video I came across this week. But this is what I saw a few weeks ago in my yard. Now you're going to also notice that at one point the trails don't even look like they're coming out of the plane. Now the question is, if the plane's a hologram and it's not a real plane, why would it be spraying chemtrails? Are they fake chemtrails? Is that the PSYOP? And that's not what I'm saying. The trails are real. My opinion on what they're for, but they're real. They pertain in the sky. They spread out, and they do all that. But I have a theory on why they might do this. Now watch this. Does that look real to you? Come on, man. What are we looking at here? And if there's anything I've done in my day, it's looked at quite a bit of fake plane footage, okay? Sorry, dude. That doesn't cut the mustard, bro.
Thank you.
Look at this, Paul. Paul, look at that. It just looks like a graphic, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean...
Oh, I've seen... Go ahead, what are you going
to say? We've told a lot lately. Obviously, Harley Quinn in the chat, she was telling me she's seen new types of chemtrailing and cloud formations going straight up.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen this. This is what I was telling you in Glory. I don't know if you guys remember. I saw a plane going straight up in the sky, like up higher than, you know, at least where the moon is apparent to our perspective. It went much higher than the moon, like way different than you see a plane. And you, if you see a plane go 30,000, even if it was going 50,000 feet, it comes up at some form of an angle and it levels off. This thing was just shooting straight up in the sky. And wait till you see the next one. And the mind-boggling thing is here, if it's not a solid plane, what's laying those chemtrails? Is it cloaking something else, which is an obvious conclusion that some people come to? It's a theory. But I have a theory that it might not be cloaking what people would think, like as far as another craft, and I'll get into that. Watch this. It's only got about a minute left. I mean, does anybody think that's real in the chat? Does that look like a real plane? And now we'll get on to the real crazy ones. As if that's not crazy enough. Check this out, okay? Now, you're literally going to be watching one of these hologram or whatever you want to think it is plane laying the chemtrails. And then it's before it turns into the plane, though, it's like an orb of light. And, I mean, I don't know what's going on. Everybody can make their own guess as to what it is. I think we all should take a look at this. I think it's worth looking into. I don't think this footage is fake. It looks like real footage to me. I've seen footage from probably like 50 different people now filming this stuff. Some of it's junk. You'll find there's a lot of bad information out there, lack of discernment with some people. But there's a lot of good stuff, and the videos match. I mean, the way these things appear. Now, check this out. Just watch, all right? It's like the plane is manifesting out of nowhere, like it becoming a plane. Watch how clear it's going to get, too. Now he's going to adjust the levels a bit, I think, so you can see it stand out a little more. Oh, no, he doesn't even do that yet. He will laugh. Look at that. What the fuck are we looking at?
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it on for another, like, 60 seconds. I want you guys to see this. I told you I was on to something big for today. Look at that. That's almost like what we see with stars, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it look like a star almost? Maybe if it was a clearer image, it would. I mean, I don't know. Look at that. Like it's a sound frequency or something.
Yeah.
You know, coming together and creating that image. I mean, it's out of my technical league a little bit, but that's what it looks like to me. Crazy, right?
Definitely.
Insane, dude. Insane. Now it's like, all right, well, if they're doing that, Why are they doing it? Yeah, Max in the chat said this must be hologram technology. That's exactly what I'm saying, bro. That's exactly what I'm saying. Now, Wake Up News made a good point too. Or is it something passing through the atmosphere creating the look of chemtrails? That is my theory. Now listen to my theory here. What if, okay, so you guys know how I have the theory that they put the chemtrails out there to impede our collective consciousness, right? Now, what if, and I'm not a big guy when it comes to talking about HOP and controlling weather. I was never really dead set on they were controlling weather with HOP, but I do think that they could be using frequencies through the sky. Now, we have seen the clouds that have the ripples in them, right? That people would speculate that might be from a HOP-type weapon or something. What if the chemtrails, what if they're using these HOP-type weapons, other frequency weapons? I don't want to, you know, say which ones, whatever, because I don't know. So they're using some sort of frequency weapons to either throw us off balance, you know, put stuff in our head type of thing. I don't know if they get it to that level, but at least throw off our collective consciousness from connecting and whatnot. And what if when they do these frequency things through the air, right, it creates these patterns or whatever that they know are going to be visible. Now, if there's nothing up there to make people think that it's causing the patterns, people are going to go and look, hey, what the hell is going on? And maybe they'll look into the real agenda and what's really happening. Whereas if they can put these chemtrails up there and have them spread out and make it look like that's what it is, they'll let people speculate on, oh, it's to poison us, it's to this, it's to that, and it's not really anything, it's just a cover. Or another thing is, what if whatever they're doing to create that ripple effect, actually they know it's going to, as it creates the ripple effect, it's going to create these lines in the sky that are going to spread out, because that's how that frequency weapon works, let's say. So they have to project planes in front of those paths where the frequency is going to go out through, so it looks like it's coming out of a plane and it's something we can relate to. Does that make sense? Or am I fucking nuts?
Well, wait till I tell you what I'll say, and you, that'll sound like, yep, that's law, that's right. yeah, like I said, we similar agree on things. I mean, I believe HAP's used for basically energy manipulation, you know, your physical energy. It's meant to make us all aggressive. I'm not saying it doesn't do things for weather, but where they're all placed at, like, near Urzrock, the place at the Nazca Lines. All these places are where the crystalline grid is. So that's to do with, you know, the natural energy ley lines of the Earth as such. But when I'm researching my crystals, and I keep coming back to crystals because it seems to be a lot in science lately, they've invented a crystal called time crystals. And I'm not saying it's going back in time or nothing, but why are they making are they just basically, how can I pronounce it? Are they just making this up? Do you know what I mean? Manipulating with certain things to create a new type of engine or something. Can you see what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It looks like to me, whatever it is either a hologram covering something, or it's something going that fast and it's morphing. Remember that film? I can't remember the title with God, what's the name now? Where she goes to a new place and she was inside of a ball. Oh, what's that film called? It's a science fiction one. I'll try and remember it when next time we're on a break. And what it is it's got that actor that was in Silence of the Lambs. Oh, what's the name? You know, Agent Clarice.
Agent Clarice. There is no more hello, Clarice. Good morning.
But she's in the film, and they make it like an orb, and it's spinning, and it creates the same type of effect that we're seeing on that. I'll try and find it and show you. It was quite a big film, and it was like she basically went to another planet or something, but it stayed there, and it was just to do with time. She moved in time and different things. It really is a good film. But when it span and created an energy field, because that's what it is, that looks like whatever's flying is creating an energy field.
Yeah.
To break. Now, are they creating this energy field to get through the liquid that's air, more aerodynamic, creating faster planes? Because if it's an energy, you know, it's helping to cut through, not creating the drag and resistance, it'd be some sort of new type of engine or force field, or it just could be hologram. I'm just trying to think.
A way that they figured, okay, let's talk about the sun for a minute. Now, we've talked about what we think the real sun might be. Yeah. And I've mentioned how it might be like it's not solid and it's a
I'm just going to think. I'll see if I can think of that while you talk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So it's like a meeting of different frequencies and vibrations, the sun, right? Yeah. And the same thing, maybe the stars, or maybe they're projected. But let's just say that's almost kind of one and the same. Let's just say they figured out a way by seeing the way our sun works and stuff to manipulate the technology to project something in the air without actually having a light beam shining through where somebody might see the source of the projection. They're manipulating frequencies to intersect at that point and create the exact image that they want, hence the image of the airplane. Does that sound plausible?
Definitely. I mean, definitely. Jodie Foster, that name was. I'm just trying to film in the film now.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Jodie Foster. I thought it was her.
And I'll try and find, see if I can find a picture of it. There's one quick, but I don't know if you can see it. There we go. I'll try and get it on the screen so you can see it.
What's the name of the movie?
Contact. I think it's called Contact.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard of it. I might have seen it. But...
Can you see it, though, on the screen?
Hold on. Let me make... Yeah, I see it.
And it's a similar shape to what you're seeing there. And in this film,
yeah, it really is,
all like nations come together to build this spaceship or whatever. It had done a time machine. I can't remember the specifics of it. And Enrod, it manipulated time and it just looked like that. That's just what, as soon as I seen that, I thought, yeah, it's that film. So.
It's crazy. So have you ever looked into this at all? Have you ever looked at these hologram planes?
First I've heard about it, and I'll apologize for being ignorant with just how you brought it up then, and I've just thought of that theory straight away about that film. Yeah. That's first I've heard about it.
But it's, would you say by the videos that I showed, it's worth looking at, because it's
definitely
going on.
I mean, it's like after for anything, 99% can be plausible, but it always leaves 1%. So everything, you have to research everything. And obviously everyone's got her favorite things like I have, but just research as you go. And when you find something that's really interesting, like I found, I mean, it's just snowballing into different things. I mean, like I said, I've been looking, you know, to the Sumerian Medes and how that could be the Mandela effect. They're also some of them can be technologies. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you don't know if one of these, this new device is technology derived from one of these Mies, because they're also called the divine spheres. Does that look like a sphere near enough to me?
Crazy. Well, Paul, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to take a break real quick. We'll take our break right now. It's like the middle of the 3-hour show. So we'll take a break, get a drink real quick and come back. Is that cool?
Okay.
And then we'll get into some more stuff.
Definitely.
All right, everybody, you're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely and Paul Knight, and we will be back in just a few minutes, okay? So just stick with us. Thank you, everybody. And let me just get the music queued up, and that would help, right? Oh, I hate when my computer goes slow, you know, when I'm trying to, like, do something smooth. It's like, all right, you look like a wanker now. Astronaut. All right. We'll be right back, guys.
You've had your time, now you gotta go. So withdraw, bitch and yaw, algebra, don't you know? No need to frown, but you gotta go. Cause what we saw, so bizarre, NASA gnaw, ugh! Switch up, cause we gotta stop with the 90 moving on and off. So pack your landers fast, cause we're getting rid of y'all. We're wanting to ditch ya, can't quite see why some lunatics wanna double ya.
When out.
No mas NASA.
When out again.
NASA, we're moving past ya. All the CGI we're getting is so old. Mama, Trump or Obama, all these sloppy, choppy, crappies gotta go.
NASA, NASA, go somewhere.
NASA, if you care.
Yes, we want some new things.
NASA, NASA, listen here.
NASA, take a chair.
Yes, we want some new things.
New things, new things, new things, new things, new things, new things.
Round up those lives from long ago.
NASA.
Adios, idiots. Take with y'all the lunar modula and the robot.
The landing man on the moon.
Don't you want to let Apollo go? I say yes. You say yes. Oh, yes.
Come back down. Falcon 9 first stage.
Enter Elon. He hails from Africa. Picked by NASA, so you can bet that he'll be picking ya. Keep an eye in the sky for Elon before he steals another billion or launches or lands another rocket full of billion.
Elona, Gonga Kota, Hamdu Namsa, Namja Noya Gunu Funsa, Lumqua, Hoku Tiota, Ponantusa, Nimpusa Utina.
NASA goes nowhere.
NASA, if you care.
Yes.
We want some new things. NASA, listen here.
NASA, take a chair.
Yes,
we want some new things.
New things, new things, new things, new things, new things, new things. Hey, we want some new things.
Hey, we want some new things.
Hey, we want some new things.
Hey, we want some new things. NASA goes nowhere.
NASA, if you care.
Yes, we want some new things.
NASA, listen here.
NASA, take a chair.
Yes, we want some new things.
New things. New fakes. New fakes. Fake is fake, ever faked.
Sedun katsa.
Si, por favor. Porque yo necesito ir al baño. And now look at you, you're all wet.
How do you know that?
The pool, you fell in the pool.
Oh.
Wow.
I have two brief questions I'd like to ask, if I may. When you were carrying out that incredible moonwalk, did you find that the surface was equally firm anywhere, or were there harder and softer spots that you could detect? And secondly, when you looked up at the sky, could you actually see the stars and the solar corona in spite of the glare?
We were never able to see stars from the lunar surface or on the daylight side of the moon by eye without looking through the optics. I don't recall during the period of time that we were photographing the solar corona, what stars we could see.
I don't remember seeing any.
Nine steps are what you take walking on the moon. I hope my legs don't break walking
this time
on.
This time I'd like to introduce the Apollo 11 crew, astronauts Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, Edwin Aldrin.
Bob, what the hell you doing? What the fuck does Stanley Kubrick have to do with astronauts and movement? Who the hell you fooling? Fuck you in this whole stupid flat up movement. Well, you don't like assuming if it's science proven. You a college student shouldn't be assuming green screen, soundstage, soundproofing. Time to film a movie, shoot. Gotta use my tools in a glass cage, astronaut suit, footprint, don't match the boot. Been to the moon once and ain't been back since. And I'm just trying to figure out where the tax dollars went. NASA.
You want me to knock you in the head? Well, I want you to swear to God on the Bible that you walked on the moon.
Okay.
If you walked on the moon, we're given the opportunity to swear to God that you walked on the moon. We're giving you the opportunity to get the hell knocked out of you so we can get along.
Not a huge fan of the award for the best rapper, but they give the Moon Man award to the best actor. Guess we must go straight to the source. Let's ask NASA. How do you explain the occurrence of lunar waves? Why do we only see one half of the lunar face? How do you explain air bubbles you view in space? Why is it so important to lie to the human race? Million-mile internet that travels light years, but they can show a space shuttle re-enter the atmosphere. Okay, to blast off, you gotta practice Freemasonry, an acronym that stands for Not a Space Agency.
Some may say, I'm wishing my days away.
knowing and if it's the price I pay, some say tomorrow's another day. You stay walking on the moon.
Then put your hand on the Bible. Swear to God, you walked on the moon.
Mr. Cyber, knowing you, that's probably a fake fire.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. Thank you for sticking with us during that brief break. Paul, you back?
I am. I'm back.
All right. Let me just turn my camera back on. All right, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, everybody in the chat. Joey, I don't know if you're still in the chat. If you can hear me, I sent you the link to your Facebook, to your inbox, because you were supposed to be on the show. It's not too late if you can come on. Come on. I sent you the link in your messenger. Paul, I know I've done most of the laying out for the show today with the topics and stuff. Is there any stuff you wanted to on your mind that you wanted to talk about today in particular?
Well, no, not really. I could talk about my things, but what are you going to talk about later about the sky and the firmament and all that? I can talk about that now or I can talk later. But what I found this week was when I'm looking into the Sumerians is, and I've done a little video, only a couple of minutes long while you're eating, is that the Garden of Eden in Sumerian, and obviously Sumerian, where they made the human beings, that's, you know, that's just the mythology, essentially, Anunnaki made us. But in the Garden of Eden, which was the gods, the Garden of the Gods, in English, it means flat terrain. And if you look up terrain, it basically just tells you it's the ground that you're walking on. So the Garden of the Gods is flat. So you got the first type of mentioning of the Garden of Eden being flat terrain.
Well, aren't you glad you started looking at the Sumerians a lot lately? Because you get all these Mandela connections, now flat Earth connections.
Well, like I said, that Mandela thing is. I even found one the other day about you've heard. I don't know if you've heard of Gilgamesh. He went to destroy a huge giant who was protecting the ancient cedar trees. Now you've shown you know about the cedar trees, how they're supposed to be the giant trees. Well, there was a giant guarding these cedar trees, and he was labeled as the destroyer. Now, how they describe it is either a robot type of thing, and this is back, you're talking thousands of years ago, they're describing either a robot or basically it wasn't made. He didn't, you know, that's how they describe it. He didn't have any parents. He was made to protect these, and it sounds like he's more like a robot or like a huge stone, you know, like a stone giant type of thing. And he was labeled as one of the Mies. So you're talking, there's another sense of one of the Mies that is supposed to be supernatural, being a physical object. And it was this giant, I can't pronounce the name, I find it was similar to the form brand, you know, the Huey, but it was something on them lines. And that's the first mentioning anywhere that I found of one of these Mies, these supernatural powers, being a physical object, and it was a giant. And you know, we've not long ago done a show on giants. It just seemed strange to tie in with that.
A lot of people saw that show, actually. A lot of people. If anybody's wondering, I did not do the Facebook live stream today. I gave up on that because it just keeps signing me out, and it's just it crashes, then I get distracted from this show. What I'm going to do is, when I re-download this to put it up to the main channel, because I'm on the ban for two more weeks, then I will have the main channel back. Make sure you subscribe, because I won't be doing the broadcast here. I'll be doing it on the main. So what I'm going to do is, when I download this, when it's available a few hours, hopefully after airing, sometimes a lot longer, I'm going to put it on the main channel, and I'm going to put it in Facebook videos. That way it will be in high def, high frame rate, everything like this is right.
Did you check that trailer I just sent you then?
No, I didn't yet, because I was getting my food. I was starving.
The film is, I think it's Contact. It's got Jodie Foster in, and in the like the plot of it is extraterrestrials send them blueprints for some device, like a ship type of thing, you know, to basically contact them. And it just looked like that. What are you talking about?
I wanted to talk something about the Mandela effect real quick while we were mentioning it. I don't have a whole list of Mandelas this week like I usually do, so we're probably not going to do all that this week. I might have like one or two. I've just been looking at other stuff. But the Sinbad thing, we've all talked about the Sinbad because that's one of the big Mandelas is this movie he was in back in the day in the mid-90s, early 90s called Shazam, where he played a genie. And now it's never existed. There were always two movies. There was Shazam, and then there was a knockoff of it, Kazam, with Shaq in it. And I remember both. They're trying to say we're just confusing it. We're mixing him up with Shaq. Yeah, okay. So yeah, I guess every black guy looks the same, right? Like Shaq and Sinbad are the same. I mean, they don't even look remotely the same, right? So, well, you've heard the jokes, you know what I mean? So, you know, they released this clip that came out like, I forget exactly when, it's probably about 2 years ago now, where Sinbad actually got behind in a movie studio and let a film crew record him along with a couple kids, and he refilmed the scene pretending that it was from the movie Shazam that, you know, is nowhere around to basically mock us. When you look at it, like, I always knew there was other bits and pieces they put in there to, like, mock, you know, they're putting stuff that supposedly never existed in there, like Berenstain Bears books, Fruit Loops spelled the right way, all this different stuff. They littered it all throughout this clip. It's a total disinformation piece, and that what they're trying to do is they were trying to get Mandela effect research just to run with this as residue, because wow, you found the lost clip of Shazam, oh that's great residue, oh Sinbad's actually in it, dude. When you look at Sinbad, he's like Sinbad, like he shot it last year, he's like 40 something 50. He's not the young Sinbad. And they went through the trouble of doing this, and they even in the video that they're doing, the commercial that they're doing, they show like TV commercials playing in the background, and they even re-edited those. Like they reshot TV commercials to film for this disinformation piece. So there's some money behind this. This was put out by College Humor. And I know most of the people in the Mandela Effect community know of this, but I want you guys to rewatch this, because I knew that there was Berenstain in there and a few other things. But the whole thing is, it's just a complete mockery of us. It just keeps putting in all these, it has Curious George with a tail on the book, even though he's never had a tail now. Like they fabricated all this residue to mock us. Like that's not, you know what I'm saying? They fabricated all this residue, stuck it all in this clip that's supposed to be residue of him in this movie that now he was never in, and we're all crazy. So we would run with this and say, oh, look at blah, 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 blah. This is proof. And then they come out and say, oh, April Fools, which is what they did. That's exactly what they did. So watch this. It's a 9-minute video. I don't know how much of it I'm going to play, but he does go through a lot of them that you might have missed, and he freezes it and shows you. He's like, look at this, look at this, look at this. I want you guys to see it. I'm going to play it, okay? And I'll make sure I got to give this guy credit later. I forget whose video it is, but here we go. I want you guys to watch this. Check this out. Watch how bad they're mocking the Mandela effect here. This isn't like he knows he's put up to this.
Welcome, everybody.
He might not know
this
why.
People choice. Once bringing you the Mandela world and the Mandela effects that affect us and this Mandela world. As you know, my first video was an introduction on how I got introduced to the Mandela effect and how affected me most recently.
You can see that, right, Paul? Full screen?
Yeah, we can see it. Yeah.
A couple of topics of
right, watch this, guys. It's crazy.
But today's video, I want to go into more detail about the Shazam video. I know it's a spoof. I'm going to bring you what I think my theories on are about this video. Let me play it. So as you can see, the video is starting off like a VHS copy where it's distorted. It's chipping
what
out.
What are you doing? Dad could have thrown out all of Mom's stuff. He just couldn't have.
What is that in the back? I see a merging map where the two continents of North America and Europe merge.
James, there's got to be something he forgot here.
There is a Curious George book with a tale.
Something real. We can remember her by.
Okay. There is a clip, as you're about to see, where the little girl says, our memories are real and no one can take them away from us. Kind of eerie, but that's exactly what they're trying to do. Take our memories and our history away from us. Is it a spoof? This is different levels, though. Different levels to this.
We have our memories. They're real. No one can take that from us. Yeah, clean this up.
So you just saw a little glitch, another VHS glitch that I like to call them glitches in the Matrix. Because what I also noticed with that glitch is that little details are different after that glitch. One, the camera angle's different. Two, laundry behind on top of the box is set up different. It looks fuller. The pumpkin or the jack-o'-lantern trick-or-treat basket on top of the box has turned a little bit. So if you notice the Rubik's Cube before the glitch, I call it the visual interpretation of the glitch in the Matrix. You can notice that the Rubik's Cube has certain colors already set up. After the glitch, the Rubik's Cube looks like it's been touched or tampered with, and it has a different color pattern. Is that telling us that that glitch is the Mandela effect representation in this video? Because after the glitch, you do see Shazam appear, and you do see more Mandela effect Easter eggs after that glitch. Just food for thought.
Can you imagine if Dad saw this mess?
Really hooked on them.
But what I do not understand is how much money he put into this project to make fun of us. You'll be seeing a Fruit Loops commercial with the proper spelling of fruit, not the two O's.
Bless you.
Here, a little Easter egg, you have the King Henry painting behind the girl. You have the Daily News with Mandela dying at 69 or 68. You have the Berenstain Bears beside the little boy, the proper spelling. And you have the Monopoly Man with the monocle beside the boy.
What is that?
Once again, King Henry in the back with the turkey leg.
Whoa.
What's happening? Man, it feels good to get out that thing. Woo! Kind of cramped up in there. Should have took you long enough, Tina.
So many people are saying that this video is a young Sinbad. This is a pretty much today Sinbad. Older Sinbad, not a younger Sinbad.
Wait.
That's crazy.
Kidnapper!
Here in this part, when the little girl says kidnapper, I'm not sure if it's referring to the Himberg baby who got kidnapped, but in this reality, it showed up. In my reality, or in my memory, it didn't show up.
How old he is.
Where are you going? I just got here!
Now you got to pay attention to everything he says. Because everything he says has something to do with the Mandela effect.
Oh!
Here you can see, if you with your detailed eyes, you can see Skechers and Kit Kat with the dash.
I believe we got off on the wrong foot.
Don't come any closer.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start all over, right? I'm going to introduce myself. I am Shazam! I'm the genie of the lamp. And you are?
You're not a genie. Genies aren't real.
Every time I come out the lamp, I hear the same thing.
You better get out of here, right?
Or you will. But you're going to toot me to death? Shazam! Not going to scream again, are you? Because look, if you do, I'm going to have to take Wayne Wishes away.
He is a genie.
Well, you're a little Tina.
Look how much work they put into this disinformation piece.
Please put the comments down below.
Age ain't nothing but a number. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wait, it's like you're 50 playing like 20.
And this is what I was talking about. Age ain't nothing but a number. Referencing Aaliyah.
Wait, you knew her mom?
Should have made me my own dinosaur.
So at the very end, you can see once again one of the Easter.
What do you think about that, Paul?
Yeah, that's crazy. That is like the running skirt type of thing, isn't it?
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I don't think anybody realized how bad that really was. Like, I knew that they had some things lit in a boat, but that whole video is just full of, you know, fake residue. And he's mocking the Mandela effect. That's why I say, no, Simone, it wasn't supposed to be satire. It was supposed – he put it out, and then a few days later or whatever, they said, oh, it was, you know, it was a joke. Because he had already been grilled on if he had been in this movie. You know how people in the community, they'll tweet people, hey, we know you were in this movie, blah, blah, blah. And he denies it, this and that. And, you know, so after like a year of listening to this, he filmed this. I know he was, it's College Humor, I guess, put it out. Obviously, it's not Sinbad's personal money backing this, but he's totally complicit in this. And man, it's crazy, man, because there's just so much in there, so much fake residue. And you can see what they tried to do. They tried to put out this ultimate, that was one of the biggest talked about ones, is Berenstain, JFK, and I'd say Sinbad was, you know, right up there. I know C-3PO and Ed McMahon, the ones I like, but the Sinbad movie disappearing is right up there, and he got tons of questions about it, and he totally outright denied that he was ever in the movie. And then he goes out and makes that clip, and it's clearly not – it's not like he just shot a YouTube video at his house and did that as a parody. These people put money behind that. They have special effects. They have rewritten advertisements and rebranded products. Rebranded. Rebranded back to the way they were in my reality, but that's what they did there. They didn't really have the actual residue there for anything. You know, the Monopoly guy, the Fruit Loops, the Berenstain, the Curious George, it goes on and on and on. They even, you hear the kids say, oh, you're not going to take our memories from us. like really, dude?
Just, you can tell when they're running scared, can't you? When things are gaining momentum to do things like this.
Well, this is like what we saw with Flat Earth as it was growing and stuff. And this is what I've told people in the Mandela Effect community for a while. They'll see trolls and I'll be like, you guys, don't worry. This is nothing yet. You guys haven't seen nothing yet. When it gets a lot bigger, you're going to see the actual disinfo campaign. You'll see actual people that are paid agents. And that is what's starting to happen. I mean, I know this clip isn't even new. This was like last year that they did this. But, I mean, there's obviously an effort there. I mean, they're obviously, you know, they're trying to muddy the waters, clearly, you know?
Definitely. You can't get away with it, can you? It's just a good video as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Oh, so you know what's speaking of Mandela effects, it's funny. Because I had mentioned you know how it is. I try and get flat earthers and 9/11 people and everybody to look at all the topics, and I'm constantly trying to get people to look at Mandela. Well, back in the day, not back in the day. I had already been in Mandela for a while. But ODD, who you guys know from Flat Earth, one of the best channels. I love his music. He's really cool. He made a video, one Mandela Effect video called Dolly Had Braces. And it's about the Moonraker one where Dolly had braces and now she doesn't. So he's definitely affected by the Mandela Effect. And I'd thrown a comment out once or twice. Hey, I really wish you would make more videos on this type of stuff because we could use it. And he makes top-notch videos. And I was watching I was going to send a video to Brian McFarlane. Okay. He sends me videos and I know I got some of those people interested in look at some stuff. I was going to send him ODD's Flat Earth in 5 minutes video. It's a great video to share. It's Flat Earth in 5 minutes. Okay. And I'd seen it many times. So I clicked on it and I'm just listening to it in my room, you know, and I'd already seen it. I was about to send the link over. And I hear him talk about, you know, a camera shot, like the one from Chicago and all that. And then he's like, this one from Niagara across the lake. And I heard him say the word Niagara, and I said, wait a minute. Right away, I knew, because Niagara is now Niagara, at least the way it's spelled. It's Niagara Falls never existed now. N-A-G-R-A Falls never existed. And now it's N-A-G-A-R-A. It's like a whole extra syllable, Niagara, instead of Niagara. Like it always was. So I go on his video and he's got he makes, for those that don't know, he makes some of the absolute highest end videos in the community, like as far as production value, top notch. He wouldn't make a mistake like this. On his screen, he's got the caption, says like Niagara from across the lake, 31 miles or whatever the distance was with the shot. Niagara, N-I-A-G-R-A. I threw it up. I tagged him. I'm like, yo, man, I found some Mandela Effect residue right in your video. I really wish you would look more into this, you know? So that's a big one. Niagara, I mean, everybody knows that. I didn't really have too many other new ones today, but it's nice to have ones that hit people in different communities and, you know, it gets them thinking. Those are the ones that I really like, you know?
Definitely. And like I said, if he looks into it more, and you said he does, he's got a good production, you know, set up, can only do more good for it, can't it?
Yeah, it would really help the community, really. Like, for instance, everybody knows the song Cartoon Ball. That's his most famous song, probably, or the Dan Nasser, Why Are You Lying? But the Cartoon Ball song, and the last verse, the best verse, literally says the words Mandela Effect, because everything's changing. Like, it's addressing it in his most famous Flat Earth song, so I know it's on his mind. And I want more people in all the communities to look at the Mandela Effect, and I want people in the Mandela community to look into NASA, and, you know, just everybody should look into everything. That, like, a show like today, Paul, could never happen if we weren't looking in topics across the board, right?
Definitely. I don't know why people are so scared not to look at different things. Just crazy. You're just restricting yourself. Do you know what I mean? Just... Yeah. It's like basically ignorance. You may as well just stay indoctrinated if you don't want to look at different things. I mean, you don't have to look at it in depth, but do you know what I mean? Just research what you can. If people pass you things, just look into it. It's what you should do, but people don't, and they seem to take offence. If we're like supposed to be in like in the truth community type of thing, why would you label something straight away? We're supposed to be breaking them. You know, we're here to break the labels, not reinvent and make them harder. Do you know what I mean? It's stupid.
Yeah. It is stupid. And, you know, you don't have to say, oh, I think, you know, just because I respect Paul's opinion, I think it's smart, I got to agree with everything he says. No, I just don't agree with you on, I don't know. There's a lot of things, but there's a lot more often than not I do, but there's things we don't agree on. But, like, you have to look at everything. You don't have to agree with the person presenting it to you, exactly. But at least look at the information they're presenting.
Well, things have weird coincidental patterns. I mean, I was just Flat Earth, and then I don't know what I was looking then into liquid crystals, and then you doing a show on Egypt. I started to look into the pyramid, and then found something else, and it just takes you places. There's weird connections out there. And once you find the one connection, it's just like a door opening to another room, you know what I mean? It's endless. But you have to enjoy the ride as you go and try and take on as much on as you know, as you can. And that's what I'm trying to do. I want to learn as much as I can. Do you know what I mean? Not restrict myself to one thing and see the same things and regurgitate it in different formats all the time. It just gets stale. And, do you know what I mean? You know better than being indoctrinated if you're just going to stick to the same one thing. I mean, I'm not slamming it. That's what you want to do. Do it. But don't call other people for looking into different things.
Yeah, exactly. And we got a call, so give me one second. Dose of Reality. You're on with Brian Stavely and Paul Knight.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Do you have the volume on in the back? Can you turn it down?
I'm turning it down now.
Okay, I can hear it ringing and stuff. Okay, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man? Good to talk to you.
Good, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good.
What's going on?
Hey,
who is this? Is this Mike? Is this Mike or is this somebody else?
This is Mike.
Okay, I was just making sure. I know you said you were going to call. I was just assuming it was you. Go ahead.
That was quick, no. No, I really appreciate the conversation that you guys are talking about, and I'm not trying to one up or, you know what I'm saying, change the conversation in any way, but there is things that matter, you know what I'm saying, like whether or not we went to the moon, and I think that matters. Sure, that matters to a certain extent, and I think that, you know, it matters whether or not, you know, we're starting wars for, you know what I'm saying, made up reasons, but being able to change it, being able to change this facade that they're constantly throwing at us and our kids, I think we're in a unique time right now where we can tell the difference between what's truth and what lies are. I mean, we're getting better at that, especially the group here.
Yeah.
And I think we need to really come to terms with what matters, and that concerns law. I think that we need to stop letting ourselves be deterred by all this Mandela bullshit. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter because, hey, it's reality, so it does matter. But in order to change it, in order for these motherfuckers who are in charge to stop being in charge and start having this place here on Earth to be a good place to live, we are really going to have to come in terms with who's in charge. And they're and the way they're in charge and what they're using is a language that we're not used to using.
Yep.
They're using That's allegories. True. They're yeah. changing our regular speech, and we're not going to be able to fix these problems unless we deal with the biggest ones first. And getting rid of these motherfucking cunts that are in office are our only chance. It's not going to be paying attention to whether or not the Statue of Liberty changes its position. It's going
to be to different people.
It is in the writing.
To different people, different things are big, and the fact that reality is changing and the Statue of Liberty can change from what it was in my memory, and it can keep changing as we're watching it, that's a huge deal to me. That's a bigger deal to me than the
– and it shouldn't be a huge deal to you, but if we're going to change this place to a place that's better and we're going to get rid of this Mandela effect, is what we really – it should be our goal. We should search for concrete information that's – you know what I'm saying – that's reproducible. We're going to have to concentrate on what matters, and that's getting these guys out of being in charge. The only way we're going to start doing that is to learn their language and to get on top of it, because they're just tricking us, and all it is about tricks.
The Mandela effect isn't a trick. That doesn't fall under that umbrella. How is the Mandela effect a trick, and how are you so sure we want to get rid of it? I don't want to get rid of it. I think it's an awakening. It's not a trick by them. If it's a trick by them, how is it changing possessions that I have? It can't be a trick.
I can only state my opinion, and I say that we're talking about things by and large that really have no effect on us personally.
That's wrong. No, so your anatomy changing, geography changing, things in your life changing, like that shouldn't change. That doesn't go with the laws of nature that we know. That's not affecting you personally? I don't know. It affects me personally in a big way.
Well, we can think that it does. Sure, maybe.
Okay, well, we can think.
R2-D2 Mike has a different foot, and whether or not C-3PO has a different leg, does matter to people. But if you're caring about the children and you want this world to be a better place, you best damn start thinking about the laws that they are putting on us under. You better start looking at how they're tricking us in common news, not in this stuff that keeps us off on our little tangents.
Yeah, but we can do both, Mike. We can chew gum and walk at the same time. Saying it's not important is just like, okay, you looked at 9/11 for a long time, right? To you, looking at planes versus no planes was important, right? But you could just say the same thing. Well, does it matter? I mean, they're still going to push through their agenda. I mean, it's still something we want to look at.
Their agenda is easily identifiable. It's easy identifiable what they're trying to do, and that's control us. So they're going to try and control us with fake news is one of the easiest ways to control us with. Just like I'm not the first person that
one of your boys on your
show started talking to me about how I should how perhaps I was silly to even think that millions of people die in wars. And I had never I had never thought that there's any advantage to the people who are lying about there being millions of people who die in wars.
Yeah. Can I jump in here?
I do not even know.
Paul, go ahead.
Is that we are listening. We are not concentrating on the things that are going to change it for our children. And that means we have to wake up to what's going on. We have a fight going on between living people, living souls, and the unliving corporations who hire these dorks who get paid a lot of money and do whatever these unliving corporations want. We have Washington, D.C., who is not even America, in control of us and our thoughts, as if they should make any choices for us. We got people who don't know the corporation of the Constitution and think that it's just, you know what I'm saying, that's just words. When it's the words that we put out for the people who we are just merely letting run our businesses.
Paul wanted to say something. Go ahead, Paul.
Right, first of all, hi, Mike. What I'm going to say is, what you're passionate about, that's your beliefs, that's your perspective. What I'm trying to say is we all have our thing that we want to research, is our passion. Now, that's just our perspective on it. Now, stuff like the Mandela effect, saying it doesn't matter. Well, I've done my research in the last couple of weeks, and I've traced it back to ancient Sumeria. This is the Mandela effect. She's talking something that is a physical and a spiritual thing 3,000 to 7,000 plus years ago. Now, what you can find is whatever the truth needs to be took out. Now, you'll have a specialty, you'll know more than something, and that is your goal, and you bring that light to the people. Now, something that you're not good at, I could be good at, and I will bring that to the forefront. You can't just pick one truth. The end goal is, yes, to get them out of power, but you can only get that with unity and people researching every topic, bringing to light what is the lie. Now, as long as you expose the lie, people wake up, they see it's a lie, they will pass it on in a pay it go forward type of thing. Whereas you learn something new, you automatically tell your friend, guess what I've just learned? And then they get intrigued. That's how you pass it on. That's how you expose the big thing to get them out of power. You need unity and togetherness, all researching different topics, bringing all the lies instead of just exposing one lie. There is that many lies covering so many different topics. You need more lies. People sometimes, as you know, you will tell someone the truth and they still won't believe you, but you show them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lies, they can't get away from it. Do you know what I mean? That's why you need different people to do what they do. You do your thing, that helping that side. Brian does his thing, Mandela, some similarities, different things. He'll bring that. I do my crystals, ancient histories. That exposes lies in history, which then people think, you know, because we all have our different interests. So we need to have everyone going at it in a united battle, but fighting our own little wars. That way we're keeping them occupied. But in the grand scheme of things, we do have to get them out of power, but it ain't going to be easy. And you can only get that with a volume of people looking into these subjects, not one subject, all of them, because they all connect. And that's just what I'll say on it.
And it gets to the point when there's something new fascinating that pops up, like our reality changing. Well, for a lot of the time, that's going to interest me more than looking into the fake system and the fake media that I have already known for however long now is fake. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying it's not.
We need all. Yeah, you need all of it. No,
because we need people to talk about that. That's not my area of expertise. And I think to say the Mandela effect, it doesn't matter that something like the Statue of Liberty is changing. I think that's a huge mistake. Of course, it matters.
You saying that.
Around you, that tells you that the whole reality that you're brought up in, never mind just the fake systems that come under that umbrella, that it's absolutely not what you think. Because how can things physically change?
Once if you're talking about that and someone's watching the show and they say, God, the Statue of Liberty's changed so many times, but they're really smart and they go away and do some research on that and it leads to something else that's even groundbreaking. You need these little seeds planting. So that basically, you know, the tree gets bigger. You just need all these little things. It's like a hive, like the bees. We're all working together for one goal and all doing the specific job, what they're best at. Mike will be.
I got two comments. Can I continue for a second? Quick second?
Go ahead.
I thought those were some great comments. I respect everything you and Brian had to say. I'm sorry, I've never met you before. You know what I'm saying? I really respect everything you got to say. I just want to say I appreciate what you guys are talking about. And I'm not trying to say that what you're saying doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
I'm saying that there's highly important things that we can change right now. And it's very unique in all of history. Okay? In all of history. And if, like you were saying, 3,000, 6,000 years ago, the Mandela effect was still going on. That means it's going to be going on probably people trying to fuck with us 2,000 years from now. Sure. And I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to say that there's a certain amount of importance to it, because who wants to be lied to? It's kind of like the whole purpose of Real News Online is recognizing who the fuck is lying to you and how do we wake up from these, you know what I'm saying, this dark dream of letting these assholes run us. Am I in agreement that far?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to one-up anybody because we're all in this race together. We're all in this walk together. But the only way, just recognizing the problems, is not going to fix the problems, because there's an endless amount of people waking up to recognizing the problems. We need good, solid solutions to ending this line that's going on and ending what they got planned for the rest of, I don't know, the rest of all of us here is not good, but we can change it now if we start recognizing how they're doing it, and they're doing it through language and law, and that needs to be at the forefront of what we're concentrating on, not these, not whether or not the moon's, you know, I agree. I think they're good questions, but if all we're doing is centralizing on whether or not the moon's real or not, we are never going to be able to defend our kids.
Yeah, but you're saying what you're talking about should be at the forefront. What if we disagree and we don't? We shouldn't spend all our time just talking about the law, and we should observe what we see go around us and our environment and all this stuff. It's all just as important. Maybe to you that's the most important. To me, that's not. And you say that the Mandela effect. You agree that or maybe you don't agree, but you repeated what Paul said that we talked about. It went back thousands of years, and it's going to go forward thousands of years. Well, so is people manipulating us. But we're not just trying to put out there. We're not just out there saying, okay, this change. We've done shows at length on what we think is causing it, why it's happening, and it's not about what you said about about people, because we do it because we're sick of people being lying to us. That's the basis of most of my shows, yes, the flat earth, the 9/11, all that. But I don't think the Mandela effect even falls under that umbrella of us trying to figure out why people are lying to us. Yeah, the Sinbad pot I brought up today shows that there is some sort of disinformation attached to it, but that's been very light until now. Well, the reason
as soon as someone says, well, maybe God's doing this, you know what I'm saying? You're throwing your hands up with no answers. Really, what's going on, bro?
Not when I say maybe. I say it's possible. I said, didn't I say?
Well, you don't even know that there's a God out there that's doing it. You haven't proved him. So you're kind of like jumping hoops. I'm saying that if we learn how they're faking us over, because what's going on is we have a corporation, privately owned corporations, that are taking over our lives, and all we got to do is realize that's what's going on. We can stop this whole this plethora of lies that keeps coming at us with this fake science and fake news. But it's got to start somewhere, not just recognizing the problems.
But you're answering yourself there, Mike. This is your passion. This is your specific area of expertise.
We're all in this together.
Yeah, we're all in it together, but you're missing the point.
You're not right, and I'm not wrong.
You're not listening.
We're in it together.
No, yeah, we're in it together, so you can't fight a battle on one front. It's suicide. You cannot all be your area of expertise, one subject, and you attack all that. You're leaving your flank. You leave everything wide open. You have to have so many areas of expertise all going at the truth in a different way. That is the only way. You cannot have just one agenda.
Even though I say they're all related, they're not all just interchangeable in the way, like Mike, you said, how you said it needs to be at the forefront, because that'll, you know, make the fake media fall, the fake, you know, the fake political system, the fake, the law system and all that. Right. So let's just say you did that. Right. And whether you did it yourself or you had a big following and tens of thousands of
people,
let's just say you were successful in doing that. Let's say we were successful in showing everybody the topic that you're passionate about right now, right? And let's just say all the cards fell the way you were expecting this.
Not just a topic. This is an over-encompassing situation for the whole of mankind.
But it's not totally over-encompassing, because if you were successful or we were successful and that whole system crashed, guess what? The Mandela effect is still going to happen. So it's still a separate topic. So not everything is encompassed.
Please find to believe that, you know what I'm saying, that the Statue of Liberty is moving on its own. You're perfectly fine to believe that. But if we are not allowing this privately owned group of corporationists to go ahead and wreck our very lives, wreck our children's futures.
That's what you look at, listen to you. It's obviously,
shooting bubbles back at each other.
It's obvious that's what you're more passionate about than what I'm more passionate about. So that's not going to be what's
happening. I'm passionate about the Mandela effect and 9/11. You've seen the stuff that I've written. You've seen my stuff for years now, Brian. You know I'm passionate about all the topics. I'm just saying the one that changes it all, the one that keeps us, that really grows us together, that changes it, our futures for our kids, is going to be the understanding of sovereignty. That is going to be the one that breaks the mold, that changes everything for all our futures, not whether or not the moon's fake or not. And you guys never spin to that.
It's not a lie. It's a fact. If you go into
I don't talk about it because I'm not that well researched on it, and I know that. What am I going to say? Oh, this part of the law is wrong, and this part is wrong, and this part, and not have the facts to back it up. It's just not what I'm researching. But I don't know. We're going to get back to what we were talking about. But thank you for the call.
No, what it is though is when you go into battle, or say for instance you're attacking an enemy who's bigger than you, stronger than you. You'd be so silly to go head straight at it. You have to attack it from the sides. You have to attack it from different places. And this is what we do. We like I said, Mike's basically argued our case of do not research one topic. You need to research everything. And then, but also.
And not researching that. We can't have our hands on everything at once. No. Sorry, that's not what interests me. I know it's important. And Mike, I've asked Mike, and Mike, I know you're probably still listening. I didn't want to cut you short, but we went for a while and people in the chat wanted to get back to where it was. But I called you the other day, didn't I? Or I messaged you and I said, hey, Mike, when do you want to come on and give your awakening interview? And you said you didn't really want to do it and this and that. If you come on, I will give you my platform for the whole hour. And it's not like I don't think it's important. You can talk about that for the majority of your interview. We'll get into 9/11. We'll get into the other stuff. And I'm going to ask you what you're passionate about. And you can go on and on about that. I'm not saying it's not important. But to say that the Statue of Liberty changing or whatever isn't important, what the moon's made out of, I think that's a very erroneous statement.
It is, and it is, and it isn't. But what I'm trying to say, why it is and it isn't, it might not be in a grand scheme of things, but you saying it's changing, someone looking into it and realizing it's changing, that could be the switch to start researching the truth. So there's one person more than yesterday who's researching the truth. He might go away and tell someone else. They might spot something else of Mandela or any other subjects. There's another one switched on. You need people being together, which I totally agree, and there's not enough people together. So he's right on that. It's Mike. You have to be a hive, all working together, not on one topic, all doing your job, creating the one. That's it. No more simple than that. Is you do what you specialize in, fighting all at once. Things get toppled then, not when you're divided, not when you're all stacked on one side. Do you know what I mean? He had very good points, and someone will be, Mike might even be more clever than anyone. I don't, like I said, I don't personally know him.
No, I want to thank Mike again for the call.
Yeah, definitely. Someone will hear that and then start looking into it more. So that he's done his job.
That's why we welcome it. And Mike's been a very fired up caller to my show many times. I appreciate him calling. And he has his strong opinions. And what he's saying, though, you can hear the passion in his voice, Paul, about that topic. You can hear it. And that's what he's passionate about. And I know that, Mike, that's what he's been posting about a lot lastly, the several few months. He sent me some things. I got to some of it. I didn't get to a lot of it. I know it's an important topic. I've listened to other people talk about it. It's just one of those topics. I'll be honest. For me, knowing that the law is set up and the way it's worded, And no, I mean, I know about the birth certificate stuff and all that, but the way the law is actually written and all that, I know it's very important, but to me, it gets boring. It gets redundant. And I'm not saying it's not important. I want Mike and I want other people I respect their research to look into it and pass the information on to me, but that's not what I'm going to come out here and talk about on my show for 2 hours, 3 hours on a, as important as that is for him. He can do that on his show. Other people can do that. He can do that as a guest on my show. It's just not, you know, that's just not what I'm interested in. But I respect his views on that. But I just, you know, the way he kind of said it about Mandela, he kind of made it sound like it wasn't important at all. And, you know, even though he kind of backtracked after and said he looked at
it. I think it just meant in a grand scheme of things, like I said, it passionate, like everything in life, everything is just perspective.
Yeah, it's just everybody. The most passionate and is the most important. Every flat earth is going to tell me flat earth is the most important. Every man.
It's like you do now, and me.
Every 9/11 is most important.
I like different things. I research more things, but I have a passion. Everyone will have a passion. One topic they always go back to when they just need time away from whatever they're researching. Mine's ancient history and all that stuff. And I always seem to fall back into that when nothing is grabbing my eye. And that's just, you know, it's not my specialty. It's just what I'm more passionate about. And that's what you need. You need people passionate in their fields, fighting that cause for the grand scheme. Because suicide, you cannot all attack one subject. Because what will happen is they'll just move the cards. They'll just move posts. So you need everyone coming in for every side, not leaving any space. Just getting people to the truth. That's all you were here for, exposing the lies and letting people find it for themselves, because sometimes they have to find it for themselves.
Yeah, well, the big problem I have with that idea is that, not your idea, but the idea that we were just discussing, that, you know, and I agree that if you understand law and it can break down their whole system, same thing as if you understand the media's fake and lying to you, and that throws out NASA, that throws out fake terror attacks, fake shootings. Yeah, that's all tied into that. But exposing 9/11, exposing the justice system, the law, the media, none of that is going to bring us any closer to figuring out what the Mandela effect is, because we know it's not a media psyop. It's not a rebranding thing, and it's not people just fucking with us. So it's not based on a lie. It's happening for some reason, and sure, there are lies clouding it now. Like, people want to suggest that it's CERN or this and that. There's lies around it, but it's not a lie like the globe Earth that was presented and we all believe it. So even if the criminal justice system and the media and everything collapse tomorrow, well, the Mandela effect, like he said, it happened 3,000 years ago. It's going to happen 3,000 years in the future. It's still going to happen. And then there it is. It's going to be the one standing, and we're still going to need to look into it. Not the only one standing. Like I said, there's always more truths. Is there a God? Like he said, I don't know. I was just putting it out there because people say, how can you say it's a projection and God said there were the two lights and this and that? Then it can be God too. I don't know if it's a NASA projection, blue beam God. I was just saying all that's possible. I wasn't saying it's definitely God. I can't prove God. I can't, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to come out here and say I can prove God. Like, really? That's the last thing I'm going to say. Imagine I said that.
Well, I said, we all have to. I mean, look at me. I believe in a creator because I can see it. I can see it everywhere in sacred geometry, everything. So things like that. You know, we have a creator because the pattern of life, the flow of life, the seed, you name it, it's all there to be seen. Do you know what I mean? You don't just get these patterns that forming on themselves. It's all done by design. So in a sense, there's your God, there's your creator. But you don't know how long we've lived, you know, we've lived for. And it, like I said, you just need people to look into different things to, you know, form one consensus, you know, as such.
Yeah. Well, back to the Mandela effect. Right. And if anybody else wants to call in, 978-435-0006. We have another call right now.
There we go.
All right. Cool. Let's see who this is. Dose of Reality Radio. You're on with Brian Stavely and Paul Knight.
Hey, it's Harley Quinn.
Hey, what's up?
I'm gonna actually bounce off Paul for a good bit of this. I believe that all of this results back to the Mandela effect. Due to the fact that if you start looking into the Sumerian MEs, they go back to the beginning of time practically. And they were the laws of the gods. And it ruled everything from anything consciousness to physical to laws. I mean, it pretty much covers all aspects of life. But, and I know me and Paul had discussed this the other day that we really weren't going to cover this at this point, but I think it might be good to cover it. You know, we had watched a video back several days ago where, let me back up just a little bit. Supposedly the MEs were buried or lost somewhere within Iraq. I think it's the understanding. But, you know, Saddam Hussein had uncovered a lot of artifacts, especially Sumerian artifacts from, you know, in Iraq. And these artifacts are being housed in the museum in Iraq. And in 2003, you know, the U.S. government went in, and the first thing that we did was we raided that museum. And yep. they were looking for something. And the video that we watched had some military personnel and different people within the video that were stating that they left, you know, all of the gold, all of these crowns and jewels that were worth millions upon millions of dollars. They were looking for some type of tablet or some type of information and knowledge. And I think it was the Sumerian-Amese. And if you think about it, the Mandela effect, most people feel like they were Mandela affected, or they noticed a massive change between 2000 and 2010 predominantly. If we raided that museum in 2003, and if this is what we obtained, then that could be the change. Let's say that the Mandela effect has always been in existence, but it was always within the balance because it was in the hands of good and not in the hands of evil. If in 2003 we raided that and we obtained this knowledge and then it got into the hands of evil, maybe that's why you have people awakening, because I think that ties into Paul's crystal theory as well, too, and he can kind of elaborate on that. But I think that that's why we've seen this change. And I think that's why certain people are awakening to all of this, is we're supposed to come together to stop this in some way.
Yeah, I had heard about those tablets. I had heard about those tablets back in the day and how those might have been really one of the big agendas to go in there. Not hearing it from the Sumerian point of view that Paul had brought up recently on the shows and whatnot, just knowing that there was some sort of ancient tablet that they went in, or ancient artifacts is the real reason that they were in there. I'd heard that, but I hadn't really heard that it was, you know, maybe that's what you guys thought it was. That's interesting.
Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, if you get it going, she won't stop, Brian. Well, she starts going on about this. No, it's just interesting because she brought it to me, like when we were talking, showed me the video. It is really insightful. And you can tell the man who's working for the army wasn't lying. You're talking, they came in and they just discarded like hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds worth of gold, jewels, and they just took lonely tablets. Now, if you look through history, some of the tablets are called the Tablets of Destiny. They all have these names that actually mean something to you. When you basically, because knowledge is power and that's influence. And if these are the MEs, which we found together, that it's just mind blowing. You're talking about army coming in to set some tablets. You do not know what's on these tablets. Are they blueprints for this new plane thing that we saw before? Similar to the film Contact, the aliens left messages in symbols and things for the mathematical to create this thing. You do not know what's on these tablets. You know what I mean? And that's, to me, is my passion, because where does that lead? And everything is snowballed from this, from researching these meads. We found out, like, in the Garden of Eden, there was two trees. I've only ever heard of one tree. So you're talking how... history.
What's the other tree called? I've never heard of the second tree.
What we found, I mean, Harley will tell me this. She'll tell me if I get it wrong. It was called the bread of heaven or the bread of life. Now, they talk about this when you give an offertory in church, you know, take this body, the bread of heaven and all this type of things. So you're talking links to the church. Everything is linked in weird ways that you would never know.
That's true. And something else that we discovered was, well, it also states that the Tree of Life used to be where the Great Pyramid is today as well, too, which I find quite interesting. You know, if there was, let's say there was originally a Tree of Life there and it was destroyed, and then let's say they built the pyramid to try to house the energy of the tree that was originally there. You also have the Sphinx that sits beside the pyramid, which Paul has discussed, and it almost seems like a porthole of sorts. I guess that's what I'm saying with the Great Pyramid. But if you look into the MEs, it also suggests that they were housed there at one period of time. I mean, it's like Paul said, everything ties into everything. And once you start really researching and you go back to Sumerian times and start really digging into all this, it all makes sense and it all starts to link together in one way or another.
It does. It does. I want to address one thing in the chat, too. I want you guys to comment on it, both of you, Harley and Paul. Wake Up News in the chat, and I think you guys would agree on this. I know I do. They say there is a hunt on for ancient technology, and I think that's very, very obvious.
Definitely. I mean, I've just, like I said, this ME, or suppose ME, was one of these mechanical giants, and he was called the Destroyer. Now, any good fan of Marvel films will know, in Thor, they send down the Destroyer. He is a giant. Is that just a hint? Everything seems to connect when you see it in a new light, and that's how we've been looking at things, because things have just snowballed the last couple of weeks. Me and Harley have been researching and talking on a lot of things, and things you find in connection to the church, connection to the Mandela effect. Because we always joke, I'm not like up to speed on the Mandela as you guys, but me and Harley found it's been going on since thousands of years, and it says that what they're doing is influencing people. So you taking away these influences, what happens? People's reality starts to change around you, and it's the Mandela effect.
Exactly, because it says that it affects not only consciousness, spirituality, it affects physical things, it affects all aspects of life.
Exactly.
And if you think about that, you know, with all the changes that we're seeing, we don't know if this only affects our realm, that it does not affect other realms as well, too. And let's just go on a theory and say that it does. This supposed alien invasion that we're going to have, what if it's not a supposed alien invasion? What if the technology or what they've gotten their hands on has a ripple effect on more realms than just ours?
What's the last part you said?
I said, what if whatever knowledge they've obtained, if they have obtained this knowledge, if they have found these MEs, let's just say that on a theory,
yeah.
What if it affects more realms than just ours?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it could.
I think this is way bigger than people really realize. And I think it goes way back further than people really realize.
I think the whole Mandela topic, honestly, to me, is more fascinating than anything because, okay, and I love, you know, I love Flat Earth. I love 9/11. I love Mandela Effect. And I spent about an equal amount of time on each, maybe a little more on 9/11. But, you know, with 9/11 or with, say, NASA, Flat Earth, Moon Landing, it's all about deception, how they've been deceiving you and this and that. And you can get through it and figure it out. Okay, this is how they lied about this. This is a lie because of this and this. But the Mandela Effect is not just somebody – it's not like somebody manipulating us. It's what's happening to our consciousness, our reality, our memories, and our past is changing. If that isn't fascinating, I don't know what is.
And our bodies. Everything.
Yeah, and our bodies, our geography, everything. It's crazy. The body ones, people think it doesn't affect you much. Well, your anatomy is changing under your skin. Okay?
Yeah.
I could beat a dead horse about C-3PO.
If it is the MEs that we found from Samaritans, it says that that is the power of the gods. And who could change our physical anatomy except for the power of God? And if this is what they found in Iraq in 2003, if this is what, because it is bizarre to have the U.S. government go in and raid a country, and the very first thing they do is go to their museum or tablet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just bizarre. And it's like I said, this just affects everything. And people don't really grasp that.
Yeah, I know.
Definitely.
Yeah. I wish more people would look into the topic, especially people that are researching other topics in depth. Some really smart people that I know. I wish they would. I wish they would look at it more. You know, because they're really.
I'm sorry, I'm not interrupting you, but it is. It's like Paul said as well too, and Paul had an epic find the other day when we were looking into the Sumerian things, and he had discovered. That, you know, Eden was a flat plane, and that ties into Flat Earth. This is more of the deception. This is a deception from the get-go. This has been evil versus good from the get-go. And it's all a large deception. We're thinking this is something that's current. It's not. This has been going on for thousands of years, but something did occur recently. And I think I know that I woke up between the 2000 and 2010 time frame. Let's say that they did get their hands on this, and that's what changed all of this. And that's why we're seeing the significant changes all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Because everything was in balance before then, and now it's not.
Definitely. So while I have you on the phone, what did you think about the hologram planes? You've looked at them before?
Actually, I've never seen this before, and I find them quite interesting. They do not look like real planes. I had shared with Paul the other morning, I was going to work, and I had seen the straight lines going up in the sky, and they started to spiral and then spread out. And I had taken some photos of them, and I sent them to him and was like, look at this. This is so bizarre.
So you saw what I saw, like that second video. You saw what I saw with it going straight up? You saw the plane going straight up like I saw, like it was just going up and up?
I did not see the plane itself. By the time I had gotten where the chemtrails were or whatever they are, they were going straight up in the sky, and they had started to spiral, and they were starting to spread out. But it literally looked like tornadoes of clouds. Like tornado chemtrails. That's the only way I know to describe it.
Yeah, and so now with what we've seen with these hologram planes, and obviously there's a lot more digging to do into it, you know. But I've seen enough to think that there's definitely something there. I can only speculate on theories of why they would do that, and maybe, you know, like I said, maybe those things that we're seeing in the sky, the trails or the tornado-like things that you saw, aren't caused, at least all the time, aren't caused by planes, and maybe they're using some type of frequency weapon or something that's interfering with the atmosphere, so they have to put something up there to make it look like that's what the cause is, and we can rationalize with that. Does that make any sense?
Right. Yeah, it does.
So there's a lot to look at there. Paul, what else did you want to get into today? We're on 2.5 hours now, so what else we want to get into before we...
Well, just saying, like we've just talked then, we're finding connection to things that I've not heard people talking about before. Do you know what I mean? And these are just us looking in. This has just come from you saying, all right, we're doing Egypt this week. Please look into the pyramids. And all this is came from that. So that's just what I'm saying. Things have a strange connection to other topics, which then basically you shine a torch on that earlier and it lights up into more things. It's just never ending. And it's just so interesting that a lot of people should look more into this, because it's just in the name, isn't it? Like ME, it's pronounced May, you know, like May in the month, but we call it ME or MEES because it sounds better. And it's just basically showing you the Mandela effect. And it even tells you when you do your research that it can affect your body, it can affect your mind. And these gods wanted them in locations, basically, as it to keep the balance. Once you take the balance away, what are you left with? And then, do you know what I mean? It just snowballs from there, and it's very interesting. Like, you do get headaches because the amount of research that we've done, and we're finding things that are like...
Oh, headaches, lack of sleep. I mean, we all have lack of sleep, I'm sure, from being up researching shit all night.
Definitely.
Jenna, how about you? Lack of sleep?
Lots of that. Lately.
Don't get me started on that.
It's crazy.
Once I start researching, I don't want to stop, because it's like Paul said, it all ties into it. I mean, you have the ancient gods tying into modern day times, because if you look, it's like, and I know Paul has talked about this on previous shows, but if you look at the goddess Inanna, then, you know, Isis said that she was a reincarnate of Inanna, and Isis is also depicted as, you know, Mary Magdalene has depictions as, I mean, all of this keeps tying in and tying in. I mean, it all starts tying in together, and how they've taken history and just refurbished it over and over and over. And supposedly every 3,600 years, there is
a
change in consciousness.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like reality is resetting.
We're coming up on that time.
I've said this to people. It's like we're in a cycle. We're coming near the end of that cycle, the apocalypse, whatever you want to call it, the Great Awakening. It's almost like our reality is like incrementally resetting, and it's accelerating over the last few years towards that time when it's going to completely flip. That's how I see it, kind of.
Well, you have, you know, we went from we went from Pisces into Aquarius, or we're supposed to be shifting from Pisces into Aquarius. And that usually takes 50 years to shoot.
Did we lose her?
Yeah, you might have done. She's probably gone.
Jen? Sure, she's still connected to the voice call, but... No, I don't know what happened. Oh, she's calling back in. Hang on. Yeah, sorry. I don't know what happened. I'm back on, though.
It's my service. It's bad. I'm in the middle of nowhere. What I was saying was, though, you have, it's a 50-year process to go from you know, one to the other. No one knows those specific dates, but we know that we're within that time frame. And there's also a great shift every 3,600 years. And it's every 3,600 years between the shifts. But the shift itself going from one to the other takes approximately 50 years. We are in that process now. And they say that during that shift, there are heightens in consciousness. And there usually are awakenings. And I think that history kind of repeats itself every 3,600 years. You know, if you look into ancient Egypt, and you know, pretty much everybody knows that I used to live in Egypt. I lived there for almost 4 years. When you're walking through the Sahara Desert, you come up on just gargantuan sheets of glass. It's called Libyan glass. And the Egyptians will tell you that back, you know, in ancient times, there was a great war of the gods and that there was a massive heat that caused that. And then you start looking, I mean, that ties into all of this as well, too. I mean, it's like there's these wars every so many thousands of years. Are we coming back up on that time? And that's what I was saying earlier. It's like everything ties in together. You know, like I said, the supposed alien invasion, but we're seeing, you know, this space force that we're creating. And all of this is either an agenda or there is actually something that's going to take place. And there is a reason that, you know, certain individuals are awakening. And it's like Paul has talked about, I think in our DNA, because our DNA, like Paul has said, you know, we have crystal DNA and we are our pineal glands. I think there's certain things embedded in certain people's DNA to awaken them to try to fix whatever this is or help with whatever this is.
Uh-huh. I agree. Paul?
Yeah, isn't she good?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, if you think about that, Brian, I think it's the Great Pyramid. I'm not quite sure, but it's in one of the pyramids to do with the Libyan glass as well. Is the steps have been melted, mm-hmm. And then they don't know what's caused this, and it just ties in straight into the Great War that she was talking about. So the steps have melted. There's that place in India where the Vidic, the Indo Valley civilization, there's a mound where people have just been vaporized like a nuclear blast type of thing. So we've got to talk about, is this the Great Divulge, the Flood, the Rift, whatever you want to call it, was this caused by a battle of the gods to create the Flood? Or was it just God cleaning house? Do you know what I mean? There's so many things that's happened that you're just trying to uncover the truth. You know what I mean? So it all leads into different things and nothing should be dismissed because you got to look at it in with fresh eyes. It's like me. I've always been into Egypt all my life. I didn't look into these certain things and I think just snowballing.
Yeah, that's
what it does. And I find it quite interesting that the Great Pyramid is referred to as the Tree of Life.
I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, even the, I don't know how you can pronounce it, the mainstream science, whatever, they always said that Egypt was the center of the world. You know what I mean? So,
well, when Paul and I have been looking at this at a flat earth perspective, if you look at some of the original maps, Paul, I think you were saying that that region would have actually been in the center, correct?
Yeah, near enough. Yeah, yeah.
Did I remember that correctly?
Yeah, we always talked about Mount Meru being in the center, but it would have been on a central area because no one knows how the map is designed or what shape. Because I know we're looking into the four corners as well, where it's mainly a circular or a square type of map more than anything. Do you know what I mean? Whereas that then would be in the center. That's where like most of the deserts are. They're all in the center strip. Like that's where most battles have took place type of thing. You know, why you got all your Libyan glass and things like that.
And then this also ties into the Freemasonry and things of that sort. Because when you start digging into all of this, it's almost like they've tried to take this type of technology or they've tried to take this knowledge and they're trying to replicate it. I don't think, my personal belief is that these ancient gods and goddesses, the Anunnaki, you know, I've heard before that they have evil intentions. I don't believe that. I think you have good and evil in everything. There has to be a balance in everything. But I don't think that the pyramid was built for anything of ill intentions or anything like that. But do I think that the Freemasons have tried to take that, just like with all the symbols, the All Thing High and all that, they take everything and they use it to their advantage and they try to turn it into something negative. And, you know, it's like the Saints has, what was it, Paul? It had the inscription at the Sphinx that had something to do with Freemasonry as well, too.
Yeah, it did, yeah. At the Jewish connection as well, not Jewish, the Hebrew connection with the four corners and the writing on it as well, yeah. That was a good video as well. And
the four corners symbol, you know, it looks very similar to the Freemasonry crawl when you look at it. I mean, like I said, all this starts tying into everything, but it's almost like the elite or the powers that be that do have bad intentions are trying to take the ancient knowledge.
Well, yeah, that's exactly like what I was saying earlier. It's exactly like what I was saying earlier, whether, you know, they aren't causing the Mandela effect, but they're going to co-opt it and they're going to make you think that they are, and they're going to put this information out there and all that. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to, it's basically a form of gatekeeping, it is what they're trying to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a big form of gatekeeping it, you know, that's what it is. It's crazy. Can I ask you, I want to ask you one more thing before we wrap it up. While we still got you on the phone too, Jenna. And mm-hmm. I know Paul has heard of this, speaking of the pyramids and all that. What about the, and I don't know the story good enough, so I don't know. I just know that this has shook a lot of people a lot. What about the one that Gloria was talking about now with King Tut buried with two stillborn kids? Is that new to you? Or?
That is new to me, yeah. I have never heard of that.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I've never heard of it, but I am not like Paul. I haven't researched Egypt. I haven't lived there like you have. And I know Gloria is really into the pyramids, and it seems that none of you guys have ever heard of it, and obviously I respect all your guys' opinions, so I think it's pretty wild, man.
I think that is too. And also, you know, the headdressing that has both the snake now and that has completely changed. It was not that way in my reality.
No.
And I didn't like, you know, I've got queens and everything depicting that from Egypt, because I brought back a lot of things. That is completely new. That has changed.
Here's the thing about him being buried with the stillborn kids, right? It's like the JFK mm-hmm. six-seater thing to me. So you know how people say, oh, you're just misremembering, the car was a six-seater, it had two windshields. And I always make the argument, if a president got assassinated in a car and it was so odd that it had two windshields, we would remember that, right? Okay, so an ancient god or whatever the, you know, king, whatever King Tut was in Egypt, right? Say he's buried, or say he's buried with his children, or say he's buried with his wife. Okay, you want to tell me I confused that and he was always buried with his wife and not by himself? That's one thing. But to think he was buried with two stillborn kids in his womb, well, that's a little odd. And don't you think that we would have known about that?
That's extremely odd. And Gloria was spot on with all of that. Like when she said, you know, that he was a young ruler, he was like 12 years old. He was. And I never remember him being married nor having children. And if I'm remembering right, don't hold me to this, but if I'm remembering right, he had an illness too. And I think that, I can't remember exactly, it wasn't like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was an illness where I don't believe that he would have been able to even have children.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? What I remember as well.
It was debilitating him. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's crazy. That's why I can't ignore this stuff. These things are huge, man. They're not little things. And even when people say they're quote unquote little things, well, even if a friggin' S gets added to a lyric that I've known my whole life, that's a big deal to me, man. It is.
Because like I said, all the ties and kids together. And what is the next change? What is it going to take to wake people up to go, hey, something's seriously going on here? When your body starts changing, that should be enough to wake people up to say something's not right. And the bad thing is this the end of it? Is this the most of the changes that we're going to see? Or is there going to be even something more significant after this? That's what's really scary.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know. We don't know right now. But yeah,
but I think as a community, we all need to come together and work on all of this. It's like Paul was saying earlier, we're all a piece of this puzzle. It's a huge puzzle. We're all pieces. We all look into different things. We all have passions about different things, but we have to put these pieces together and work together as a community to try to get to the bottom of this and figure it out. That's what we're obviously here for.
Yeah, definitely. That's what we were chosen to do. I'm convinced of that. That's just where I'm at, you know. But, all right. Well, thank you for the call, and I think we're going to wrap
it up,
Paul.
Thank y'all.
All right, Paul, we're going to wrap it up. And just want to thank everybody for listening. Make sure you sub both my channels. The other channel, if you're watching this live, my main channel is Brian S. Staveley, YouTube, you know, /user/ Brian S. Staveley. All my links and Paul's channel, make sure you sub to him too. They're listed below in the show description. We'll be back next Saturday. I did an interview yesterday or the day before yesterday with Jamie Glanville, My Awakening, and I also did Susan Borjo on Monday. Both excellent interviews. They're both on the My Awakening list. My Awakening. I can't even talk anymore. they're both on the My Awakening list. Make sure you check those out. If any of you guys visit my website, therealnewsonline.com, I know it's down right now. Something crazy happened, and I'm working on resolving that. But for now, good majority of my content is up on my YouTube channel, thankfully. About 75% of my shows probably. So check out my 9/11 list. Check out the Dose of Reality radio shows list on my main channel. It's the most important because that has all the shows from all the topics, all the video shows we've done with me, with Paul, with Gloria, with other people that have come on, with James Sloan, other guests of the show, and all that. That's all up. And we'll be back next Saturday, most likely at 3 p.m. as we usually do, 3 p.m. Eastern. And if anything changes, we'll let you know. Just make sure you like, subscribe. And guys, please share the video. Okay, let's get this stuff to spread around. My view counts aren't where they should be, I don't think. So let's see what we can do. Paul, you got anything you want to say before we go?
I just want people to research different things. Like I said, we all got our thing. We all need to just do your own thing, but join and share everything. That's all you can do. They don't want everyone getting on and being united. You know what I mean? You don't have to be in each other's face and in each other's pocket. You just have to share everyone's stuff, pass it on, you know, just pass on different things, information. That's all you can do. Enough with the, like, infighting, because everything is connected in its way. And people that say it's not, well, you just cannot say, because the stuff I found with Jenna and that, it just blows my mind. Like I said, I'm not like really in depth as Mandela like you and Jenna is, but I've still found links with Jenna like going back thousands of years. And it basically tells you in the description what they are. So even though I wasn't totally like, well, I was into it, I do know it and I believe in it, but I just not as up to date as you guys, and I still found this. So if I can do it, you guys can do it. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. If Paul can do it, anybody can.
And that is it. Do you mean you can?
Fucking moron over here. Yeah. If this bloody wanker over here can use his little blue marble of a brain. Oh, I just called you blue marble brain. And a few weeks ago, Gloria called you.
Oh,
Jordan.
No.
You're not doing too well right now, bro.
I don't even know my own name sometimes. That's why she Gloria was like that.
Your name's Rogan. Your name's Joe Rogan. Get used to it. And on that note, we're out of here. Thank you, everybody. Dose of Reality Radio, Brian S. Staveley on YouTube, and The Real News Online on YouTube. Please share, please like, please subscribe. See you next week. Good night, everybody.
Bye, guys.